much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, Mandela, Psycho Mike.
Yeah, that guy is a huge douche.
Now, I understand if you've got other issues, like maybe you're not playing games, maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood, maybe your mother has cancer, you're going to chemo, maybe you're just a person who's extremely frightened or has an anxiety disorder, maybe you're on some medication for that. I don't know. There could be another issue that I'm not aware of.
Whoa! So this is Radioland, huh? The infinite turtle, the waves through the ether fuzz roll on forever. Roar!
And now,
hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me.
Our feature presentation.
That's so true. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new show for a Tuesday morning.
Your phone calls are coming up in about a minute at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Get on the air, get a prize. Surprised to see Kevin. Kevin has turned into, Lisa, the international man of mystery. He walks out the door at 10:01. Yeah. We don't hear a word from him, not a peep. He could be dead for all we know until the miracle of he shows up the next day.
What are you
it's
talking
weird.
About?
I'm just saying we don't hear from you. Everybody else is involved in many like email conversations about work and things like that. But you're absent. MIA.
I read through the long list of emails that happened yesterday and last night. And I thought to myself, thank God I wasn't involved in this. It was just ridiculous. And I was so happy to have not been a part of it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, occasionally we appreciate your input. Occasionally we look for guidance.
You don't want either, let's be honest. Let me tell you what I saw coming in, if you don't mind. I saw, you know, license plates that are personalized? They try to get a little message.
Right.
You can only use 7 characters, right, on a license plate? Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing this person meant God is good. But the license plate said GODSGOO. Because that's all the room there was.
Yes.
Because they didn't have an extra character for the D, so it just was God is goo. What it said. I'm guessing that's not the message they were trying to put out into the world. But I'd like to congratulate them on doing that nonetheless.
So for someone, sex is a religious experience.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Apparently. Hey, it's the miracle of life. In a way, God is goo.
Yeah, but I don't think... I'm guessing that's not what they meant to say.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that.
But maybe think about that ahead of time and then figure out what it really
plan
is
plan that
saying.
Out. Maybe show it to a few people.
Sure. Yeah.
Get some input.
Or go, hey, that was a good idea. Unfortunately, it's too many letters. It's not going to work out.
Right, because it's going to end with goo.
But I'm thinking the type of person who's so into religion that's going to get God is good.
Right.
Doesn't hang with a group of friends who would even know that God is goo is probably not a good idea.
That's true.
Now, maybe it was already taken, but if I'm in that situation and I insist on going that route, I just go with God good. I just drop that S and go God good, which I think that message comes across a little better than God's goo.
Sure. But that probably was taken, right?
Yeah, I would say that's my guess.
Is it anywhere in the country or is it just in each state?
Is what?
It's taken.
Oh.
If it's taken, you
I
can't
think
use it.
Oh, no, it's per state.
Each state.
By the way, Psycho Mike, if your next band isn't called God's Goo, if you guys aren't booked at the Troub this weekend, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I'm overwhelmed with how awesome God is Goo.
God's Goo is the best. Speaking of Psycho Mike, I'm very angry with him today.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Because, and we are going to go to your calls in a minute, 1-800-520-1067. We do have a couple of lines open if you want to get in on the show. Psycho Mike, right before the song ended, right before we went live on the air, was talking about how much he hates. Now, you ready for this? Let's think about all the people in the world you could hate, and then let's try to figure out how Mike can figure out a way to hate.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
Now,
in
how
every
does it,
way?
Like by all accounts, super, super nice guy.
Yeah.
does enormous charitable work. I mean, he's one of the first celebrities who stepped up to give the $1 million to Haiti. I mean, the guy does is a phenomenal actor. I mean, is there anyone more criminally? Maybe him and Johnny Depp are the two who should have won Oscars at this point in their career. I mean, the guy is a great actor and, by all accounts, a great person.
And you went to Shutter Island.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was great in that.
Maybe the most.
He's great in everything.
Maybe the most consistently good actor out there.
Why do you hate him?
Because he's got it all, and even more so than Johnny Depp. Because like Johnny Depp's kind of reclusive.
Yeah.
And I see Leo at the Laker games damn near every night, and he's got great seats, and he's hanging out with the fans, and he's got it all. Not only that, took off his shirt, Kevin. Took off his shirt in Shutter Island. Fat.
Yeah.
Doughy.
He's not fat.
Doughy.
He's not fat. Leonardo DiCaprio's not fat.
Doughy.
He's a little doughy.
He's a little doughy.
Man
he
boobies.
Is.
Man biggity boobs.
Listen, Spencer, maybe he's, instead of spending all day in the gym, he spends all day banging Bar Raffaelli.
Well,
you ever think about
thing.
That?
I was talking about that with Miss Lisa May before the show started. I'm thinking, if I got to go home and bang Bar Raffaelli every day, probably wouldn't work out either.
Probably
not only
go to
that,
the gym.
But if he got tired of Bar Raffaelli, trade her in for another supermodel,
yeah.
And then have Bar Raffaelli banging on his door to come back to him.
Yeah.
Well, then how do you hate that guy?
Because
he's jealousy. Jealousy.
He wants to be right. That guy. That's
yeah.
why.
Oh yeah.
But he's attracted to men, and he doesn't know what to do with.
Almost
that.
All guys that I'm jealous of, you know, and have envy of, there's some flaw. But I honestly don't see it with him. I see the guy. All the other A-list celebs, they're really, really standoffish at the Laker games.
Sure.
He's always taking pictures with people,
really?
Signing autographs, high-fiving dudes. He's just it seems very down-to-earth. Seems
well, I can
very
see why you hate him.
He's super talented, and he rifles through this battery of hot chicks, and he's decided to, you know what, I'll stay with you, Israeli supermodel of perfection, Bar Raffaelli. I'll stay with you for just a fragment more than the rest of them. But,
right.
But don't
make no mistake.
Make no mistake. It's only a matter of time before a younger, better you comes along.
Wow. What's a guy have to do to get your respect then?
Oh, no,
hate
no, no,
Leonardo
no.
DiCaprio.
No, he has his
don't
respect.
Don't confuse respect with hate.
Respect he has, my
yes.
friend. Respect he
but
has.
But hate.
But hatred he has as well.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's take some phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of 2010 Six Flags Magic Mountain Play Passes? No blackout dates. Your Play Pass is valid any schedule operating day in 2010. That sounds like good times. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try, let's try Ricky. We were just talking about Johnny Depp. He's on line one. Let's see what he's got to add to the conversation. Hey, Ricky, welcome to the show. What it do?
What it do? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Yeah. My question is, I'm driving around everywhere in Los Angeles, right? I'm seeing these billboards about Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And all you see is Johnny Depp as the main character. The movie is called Alice in Wonderland. There's no, you don't hear anything about Alice. My question is why?
Well, that's a good question, actually. I hadn't thought about it. I'm not that familiar with the story, but I assume that there has to be some sort of main male character that Johnny Depp is playing. Maybe someone who's a friend to Alice?
Isn't he the Mad Hatter?
He's the Mad
is that
Hatter.
Who he is?
Yeah, he's the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
He's the Mad Hatter, but in the cartoon and in the story.
She's more important because her name is in the title.
Exactly.
Never thought of that.
Well,
okay.
Can't
well,
help
I don't,
you.
That's a good
I don't even know who the actress is who's playing Alice. She's kind of a newcomer. And Johnny Depp sells tickets, and people love Johnny Depp movies, so it makes a lot of sense that they would advertise it that way. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think the movie's going to be okay, but the storyline's going to suck. That's what I think.
Okay. All right.
All right. The storyline that has been a best-selling book for 100 years now is probably going to be pretty lame. You're right about that. Let's try line 8. Frank is calling us today. Hey, Frank, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Well, man, I kind of like follow your advice or kind of suggest my girlfriend.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Let's stop right after I followed your advice. You know the advice we give is always the worst we could possibly think up.
Well, I kind of suggested we start going to the gym because she's like getting a little weight. So she kind of started giving me this thing about what? You know, you don't love me anymore. You know, I don't talk about your weight. So I said, well, maybe we should start going to the gym. So it kind of became a big problem.
Yeah, this is yesterday. We were talking about how to not tell your girl to.
But he did it the right way. He suggested that both of them go, right?
Right.
Well, I suggest that she should start going to the gym.
Yeah,
he didn't do it the right way.
Not at all, no.
Oh, Frank.
Frank, come on.
woman, she's the one who's like gaining a little.
Right. Did you call her fat ass while you were making the suggestion too?
Play a tuba behind her?
Well, after she kicked me out of the house, yeah.
Ah,
Frank. Why are you bad?
I don't know. I thought maybe I'll follow your advice. Man.
No, sure. No. Listen, our advice yesterday, by the way, was to not do it.
Any of those things.
To not do any of those things. We took calls from people who did it and failed miserably. Because if you care about that person, here's the key. If you care about that person, you have to that's a minefield you have to navigate. That's right. Really, really scary. And if you don't care, it's easy. But you don't follow our advice, for God's sakes, Frank.
So how do you come back from that and make it up?
How do you make it up?
Yeah.
Bring home chocolate?
Chocolate.
Yeah, I don't know, Frank. I'm going to go with you're not going to ever get back.
Yeah, that's it. You're out. Move on.
Right. Yeah. All right. Thank
Sorry,
you.
Dude.
Well, don't follow our advice. Again, right. that's the best advice we can give you, but that one you're supposed to follow. Let's try Danny on line two. He's got an Olympic update for us. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I just wanted to see if you guys caught the news yesterday. I was on various news channels that pole dancing may become an Olympic sport. What do you guys think about that?
Pole dancing?
I don't believe it.
Will ever happen in a million years? No.
That's not a true story either, is it?
They were just talking about the techniques and you know the exercise.
Of course, of course, but that doesn't make it an Olympic sport, right? I mean, they're pretty uptight, right. That group.
Yeah,
they also need to go the other direction and strip ice dancing of its place in the Olympics, too.
Well, I think they could take the place of curling. What do you think?
I think, well, first of all, curling should be gone. Second of all, they put ice dancing out there so that figure skating doesn't look so gay. I think, I really do. I think they put that out there just so people can go, wow, what's this figure skating? This isn't so bad. I think that's the way it works.
I love pole dancing.
Yeah, that's Lisa. She could be an athlete.
Apparently, what happened yesterday was somebody with some pole dancing association started talking about. Hey,
we should be.
And everybody, you know, it's a hot story with the Olympics going on, so everybody picked it up. But I don't think that is very likely at all. Though
half
the things that are in the Olympics, I never would have imagined would be Olympic sports either. So what the hell do I know?
We're running low on time, but we do have to squeeze in Brittany really quick. Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
Tell us about school.
Okay, so I go to a mostly girl nursing school. There's about 10 boys for 100 girls.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, I'm going to be a nurse.
Yeah, so in the beginning of the semester, we were learning how to take pulses. And as a requirement, the instructors basically had us feel each other's breath so that we could find their heartbeat.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so that was my sort of time feeling someone's breath.
Now, and how'd you like it?
It was soft.
It was soft?
Yeah, it was really soft. I don't know, I didn't expect that.
Why, did you get a boob job?
No, but I just...
Well, then why wouldn't you expect soft?
Aren't they the same as yours?
Well, I don't know, I guess I just thought that, like, I don't know, some other girls' breasts would be firmer.
All right.
And they were all just really kind of squishy.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what's good about them.
Good, right?
Yeah, and then we also had to learn how to get injections in the rear end.
Right.
So we got
I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to nursing school. I don't know what it is.
Somebody is definitely filming you, I'll tell you that.
They're filming you and everything, but you're not going to be able to nurse after this.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting experience.
And then we had to drop to our knees for the doctor.
The injections in the rear end. You're going to one day find out they're going to appear in a film called God's Goo.
Oh, God's Goo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, maybe that'll be my career debut.
I certainly hope
so. Okay. All right. Good luck to you. Thank you very much for calling. That's the best nurse ever.
No kidding. All right.
Love her.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
I walked through the door a minute ago, and I heard yelling from the office, Ralph Garman, shouting, Sharktopus!
Yep.
Well, today's the most important day of Ralph's professional career.
Talking to the vice president of programming for the Sci-Fi Channel about that particular movie that Ralph has decided he is going to have a role in.
Well, he was born to play the captain of the ship that goes out to kill Sharktopus.
That's true.
I understand. I applaud his passion.
I don't know if you've seen Captain EO's Coming Back, where you got to check in with Michael Jackson on that story.
Okay.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney, who just won't die. We wish he would. Just oblige everyone.
No, he's too entertaining. Are you kidding? I don't want him to die.
Wing has been calling us now on a daily basis. Very excited about that.
Yes.
Have a new citizen of the day. We're going to tell you about iPhone apps and why they are anti-women. They will not allow a pretty woman to be on your iPhone.
Unbelievable.
And this is a tragic step in the wrong direction because there's nowhere to get porn on the internet.
That is true.
So I count on iPhone apps, and now they're taking all the good ones away. What's up?
So that's coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Right now, that guy who talks about that stuff.
What's up, Ralph?
Shocktopus! Damn you, Shocktopus!
Oh, you hadn't mentioned that was today we were talking to the guy from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Can't wait. Can't wait to pitch myself.
Those of you that don't know what we're talking about, this is a movie that has not been made yet.
They just announced they are in pre-production for the television film known as Sharktopus. That's all you need to know.
Well, I'm just
saying. It's half shark, half octopus.
I'm in. I'm just saying I don't want people to go, hey, where can I see that? Because it isn't out yet.
I think we're also going to be talking about Dino Shark, another film they're working on for Sci-Fi, which is Body of a Shark, Head of a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Ooh.
Dino Shark.
Awful.
It sounds like it would just go straight to the bottom of the ocean.
It's too heavy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it could breathe
either. It's too heavy.
You guys don't know about science and junk. Speaking of television, I've got tickets to give away to one of my favorite events of the year. It is the Paley Fest 2010. This is the long festival during the early spring that celebrates television, the best in TV, past, present, and future. I've got tickets to give away to Community with our buddy Joel McHale. If you want to spend the night with the cast and creators of Community, I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away right now. But you got to know the answer to a trivia question. We do this every time we give it away. I've got Dexter tickets later on today. But if you'd like to see Community, and you're one of the first 5 callers through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer, you're going to win. Here is the answer. Joel McHale, our buddy, of course, host of The Soup over there on E!, also the star of Community. Where was he born? Where was Joel born? I'll give you a hint. Wasn't in the U.S. of A.
Oh. Wow.
He's a Ferner. He's a damn Ferner.
Is he communist?
I think so. Call now if you know the answer. 1-800-520-1067.
Isn't he doing a job an American could do, though? I mean, that troubles me.
That's what I'm saying. He's stealing work from Americans. And I didn't even know he was a Ferner when we used to talk to him all the time. Now he's no longer welcome on this show. I'll have him know. It finally happened. Someone bought a classic comic book for $1 million.
Oh, is this the first time?
First time it's ever happened. Wow. Someone bought an old comic book for $1 million. Happened yet?
Sucker.
Comic book was Action Comics number 1, which is the first comic book ever to feature a guy named Superman.
If I had $1 million to spend on a collectible, I think that would be one I would consider. That's a guaranteed you're going to continue to make money on that. That's going to only get rarer and more valuable the longer you live.
There are only about 100 copies of this comic book in the world, and 2 of them are what they call 8.0, which they grade comic books from 0 to 10.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the best condition you can find for that comic book. There's 2 of them that are 8.0. This was one of them. And it sold yesterday for $1 million.
But do you think people are looking at that like it's an investment? Or wouldn't you think it would be a comic book fan that would never want to get it?
This guy is a comic book collector. But look, I mean, these are sold all the time, these books. So when you're looking to cash out, this might be a pretty good investment. They're not making any more, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Superman. Pussy.
With all that stuff he can do that Batman can't.
Yeah. Hey, what? Speaking of guys that Psycho Mike should hate, how does he settle on Leonardo DiCaprio?
You tell me. I don't.
When Justin Bieber's walking around.
Mike's buddy Justin Bieber, you mean?
Yeah, I know. Mike loves Justin Bieber. Talentless 15-year-old. But no, Leo DiCaprio gets slapped down. Justin Bieber just announced he's getting his license in a few weeks, and so he's announced he's going to buy himself a $300,000 Ferrari. That's his car. Yeah, that's going to be his starter. That's his starter car for Justin. That's his first one.
He was in South Beach trying one out from, like, I guess one of these high-end rental places where you can rent cars like that, and he's just destroying the gears. Can't get it in gear. It's terrible. There's video of it on TMZ.
He doesn't have a license.
Yeah. Well,
he won't have that one very long.
Well, buy another one, Lisa.
Buy another one.
Just get
another
one.
Folks should know that Psycho Mike's avatar on his Twitter is a picture of him and Justin Bieber very much in love with their arms around each other.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
I hear you.
This is why we have a problem with this one.
You're correct.
You guys watching the Celebrity Fit Club?
No.
You guys are missing out.
No, although K-Fed's on it, right?
Yes, and Ben Bobby Brown.
All right.
And Nicole Eggert.
All right.
And
Shar Jackson.
Shar Jackson was going to say K-Fed's baby mama, number right. one. It's a fascinating community of people trying to lose weight on this VH1
show.
How
long has it been on?
A couple weeks now.
Okay.
I was watching last night. And at the end, you know, they put you through all the challenges and whatnot. And first of all, Bobby Brown keeps getting loaded at Fit Club.
Really?
He's getting drunk. Is that a good idea?
I'm thinking no.
Nicole Eckert also can't put the wine down.
Wow.
Why is VH1, first of all, stocking the liquor cabinet to the gills for these people over at the camp? Anyway, I can't understand. But Bobby Brown is making some personal breakthroughs. He's conquered his fear of heights.
Okay.
Climbed a rock wall, which was, he started crying after he did. It was very impressive. But at the end, after you do all the challenges and whatnot, they put you in front of the panel and they weigh you to see how successful your weight loss is going. So this was Bobby Brown last night in front of the panel. And I'm thinking maybe it was ill-advised.
Okay.
Bobby Brown, your goal was 3 pounds. And your weight tonight is?
I'm really disappointed.
So we're really buying the 8-ball now.
Do you really say 8-ball when you're talking to Bobby Brown in any context? Do you really drop the 8-ball phrase around Bobby? Do you really want to put that in his head as he heads out the door? You're behind the 8-ball, Bobby.
And he needs
that's
to lose
a good
weight.
Idea.
Yeah.
8-ball.
8-ball is what I
that
need.
That sounds familiar.
He's done a few in his time, allegedly.
Yeah, well, not even allegedly. Come on. No court in the world would sue us for that one. Let's take the winner to my trivia question, shall we? I think Caesar has got the answer on line 8.
Hey, Caesar.
Hey, how's it going?
Caesar, where was Joel McHale born?
Joel McHale was born in Rome, in the beautiful country of Italy.
Rome,
wow.
Italy.
Really?
How about that?
I did not know
that's right.
That.
Rome. You're right. Hold on. We're going to give you the details. You're going to hang out with the cast and creators of Community, thanks to the Paley Center.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Congratulations also to Freddie and Joel and Justin and Eddie. Joel called in.
He did himself.
He
yeah.
can't win.
I was born in Rome.
That's ridiculous. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kristen Davis, actress from Sex and the City. She is 45 years old today.
Belle Nobel, you guys.
Bell. She's the best of all the Sex and the City girls.
I think so, too.
Even at 45, she still looks great. She was in that couples retreat with Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
And down to her bikini on the beach and whatnot. I was like, damn. I said, hello. I said, damn.
Did you say it like that?
Niecy Nash from Reno 911 currently can be seen on one of the Insider, I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah, she's 40 years old. Emily Blunt celebrates her 27th birthday. Actress Dakota Fanning, soon to be seen as Sherry Curry in the Runaways movie. She is 16 years old. Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement is 59. And legendary actor-director Peter Fonda celebrates his 70th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. When George W. Bush left the White House, brother left the White House. You never heard from or saw him again, right?
Is he brother?
You know what I'm saying.
Okay.
The guy, the man. I mean, he retired. The guy stepped out of the limelight. He left it behind.
Yeah.
He said, not my problem anymore. Good luck, Barack. Dick Cheney, not so much. I can't.
Dick Cheney. Sorry, two-song on the soon?
It was two-song on the soon, exactly.
Two-song on the soon, yes.
I can't get Dick Cheney off my TV no matter what show I'm watching. I mean, he's showing up on Deal or No Deal. I mean, he's just everywhere. Dick Cheney is just everywhere. And maybe at his age, maybe it's starting to get to him because he was admitted to a Washington, D.C. area hospital yesterday with chest pains, which is bad news if you follow the vice president and his health. You know, he's had a bunch of heart attacks. So we thought we'd check up with him and find out what is going on and how he is doing because he is, of course, one of our favorite guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Vice President. How are you feeling today?
Oh.
Oh, you're still in the hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you doing all right, sir? I got kind of concerned when I heard that they've taken you in.
Yeah, they're keeping me for observation.
Right, because you've had a lot of heart trouble.
Pussies.
Well, I mean, you're almost 70 years old. You've had 4 heart attacks. It's something to be concerned about when you start feeling chest pain.
So?
Well, I mean, I think that's their job is to take it seriously.
Uh-oh. Dick?
Hello?
Dick?
Yeah, I'm back.
What the hell?
What happened?
They're under instruction to shoot up a shotgun every time I flatline. And it gets me back in the game.
I see. It kind of brings you back, huh?
Exactly. Wow.
That's strange. Where do they shoot that shotgun? Into the roof?
Yes,
yeah.
Into the roof.
I'm just asking.
Good question.
Too song for the zoom?
Nice. Sounds very alert.
Too late?
Now, I don't want to turn this political at all, Mr. Cheney, but I'm wondering if you're getting some of that good government health care that you're always railing against right now.
No, I have insurance, mm-hmm. medical insurance that I pay for.
Private insurance?
All the money I got from Halliburton, which is a grip load.
I got
an ass full of money from this war of ours.
How much did you get? Did you put a number on it?
Well, it's hard to put a number on $14 billion. Whoa. Oh, wait a minute. I just did it.
Wow. Now, do you think maybe it's time to start slowing down your schedule? I saw you on the ABC This Week Sunday morning show a couple of weeks ago, and then you made that appearance at that Republican convention where you showed up and basically just said, Obama's a one-term president, and turned and walked out of the room. I mean, it just seems like you're staying too busy for a man of your age.
I'm sorry. What's the president's name again?
Obama? President?
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Bean.
I didn't mean to set him off.
Here's that word.
I'm just saying, maybe
Obama
take a page.
Does to me what he's going to do to the country. Kill it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I said it.
Wow.
Maybe take a page out of Mr. Bush's playbook and go ahead and just slow down and enjoy your golden years while you've got them.
Well, no one's as slow as George Bush. If I slowed down that much, I'd stop.
That wouldn't be bad.
But it's important for me to get my message out there.
Okay.
Which is, I'd like some more money, please.
You just said you had $14 billion from Halliburton.
Yeah, it's not enough. I got to buy a new heart, apparently.
Oh.
I have to kidnap some illegal alien and rip their heart out and put it in my chest.
Wow.
Is that the plan?
That kind of thing costs money. So if you see a black van pull up behind you and you happen to be in this country illegally, I'd run like hell.
Okay. Good advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, so...
Too Song for the Soon?
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Don't forget about the World Tour 2010. Destination number 5. We're going to send you to Lisbon, Portugal.
That's in South America, right?
Or as we spelled it online, Portugal.
Yeah, that's got to be.
We like to keep you guessing.
To see Pearl Jam. All week long, you score a CD copy of Backspacer and you get on the standby boarding list. And then Friday morning, we're going to do the drawing and send somebody to Lisbon, Portugal.
It's right there by Spain, don't you know, Kevin?
To see Pearl Jam.
He does now.
Very aware of that. Thank you. From the world famous K-Rock, it is 6:34. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. If you have been with us for a long time and have become a fan of Ralph Garman, I have bad news for you. He hands in his notice in about 30 minutes after we talk to the Sci-Fi Channel guy who may hook Ralph up with Sharktopus. That's his dream, is to leave this dog and pony show behind and go work on the Sharktopus movie. So we'll see how that goes. Apparently, Ralph has quite the presentation plan for him, and that'll be in about a half an hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I'm on a horse. Now, I said that to Alex yesterday, our producer Alex. I said, I'm on a horse, and I could almost tell how moist she got just from hearing those words, because that's the last line in an Old Spice commercial that has become an internet sensation. I feel like such a tool, by the way, because I had not seen this commercial before. I had seen it come on my TV a bunch of times, but I'd always fast-forwarded past it. So right. I was missing the magic of the Old Spice commercial.
But don't give up on the idea that you're a tool. You're a tool for very many different things.
And then I got turned onto it online, and apparently Old Spice, and boy, am I impressed with the work that they're doing. I don't even know what Old Spice is. It's a drink, right? It's some sort of beverage, right?
It's an aftershave.
Right? Oh, no, whatever. So how effective is that campaign? But I love the commercials.
It's a drink. It's been
Wait a minute.
Forever.
Did you think it was a drink? You thought Old Spice was a drink? You're kidding, right?
I never really stick around to see what it is. But anyway, the point is,
wow.
there's been a series of commercials of Old Spice, one of which features Bruce Campbell, the very famous B-movie actor, who is sitting in a smoking jacket in front of a fireplace with a pipe and starts talking to the camera as he gets up and walks from one den in his house to an identical den on the other side of the house. And the entire time that he's walking, there's a painting on the wall behind him of ships, of big ships out in the sea, okay? Lisa, am I lying if I say that this painting goes on for 30 feet?
Yeah, and the thing is, I think it's one sailing ship. I think it's like a sailboat mm-hmm. with like 100 masts.
No good.
Because it just keeps going and going.
So, Here's a little bit of the Bruce Campbell spot, and then we'll talk a little bit about the I'm on a horse guy, because that's amazing. So listen up.
If you have it, you don't need it. If you need it, you don't have it. If you have it, you need more of it. If you have more of it, you don't need less of it. You need it to get it. And you certainly need it to get more of it.
But if you don't already have any of it to begin with, you can't get any of it to get started, which means you really have no idea how to get it in the first place, do you? You can share it, sure. You can even stockpile it if you'd like. But you can't fake it. Wanting it, needing it, wishing for it.
By the way, as you listen to this, is it any wonder that I don't know what Old Spice is? I mean, there's very little hints going on in the commercial, right?
Well, yeah, but...
Because everyone knows what Old Spice is.
The point is, if you've never had any of it, ever, people just seem to know.
And then a little Old Spice. So that was the Bruce Campbell one, and apparently that one escaped me completely. Now, the new spot is the one that debuted during the Super Bowl, and this is the one that has become an internet sensation. I mean, millions of people have traded this and talked about this and written this to the point where people had to find out how it was made. This is the black guy who is a former four-year NFL wide receiver, by the way, who is in the shower as the commercial begins. And the entire commercial that features him in the shower and then talking as the shower is pulled up from outside of the frame, and now he's standing on a boat, and then he walks off of a boat onto a horse. All of that is done in real time in one shot.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you first see it, you think, well, this is Avatar technology that this guy's got going on, right? There's no way that that's possible, but they did it. But I'll tell you how the commercial was made after we hear a little bit of his name is producer Alex's new boyfriend, Isaiah Mustafa, is the I'm on a horse guy from the Old Spice commercial. Listen to how cool this guy is. Tell me this guy doesn't want you. He makes you want to be him. He makes all women want to be with him.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me.
So right about there is where he's standing in a shower, and he's got a towel around him, and the bathroom lifts up out of the frame, and now he is literally on a boat. Okay, and you see the horizon behind him, and he's standing on a boat, and he's walking, and a sweater comes falling out of the sky that cascades around his neck, making him look ever so cool. Now he's walking along the boat, continuing to tell you about his favorite drink, Old Spice.
Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell of. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamond.
The only CGI in the whole commercial is they did strip in somebody else's hand that they did in a studio of an actual oyster that opens up, and then there's a pair of tickets in it, and then they do turn into cascading diamonds.
You're more interested in how this is made than it's funny, aren't you?
Well, it is.
No, it's hilarious. It's hilarious, but I mean, isn't that amazing? Having seen the commercial, Kevin, isn't it amazing to you that they were able to do it in a continuous shot like that?
Yeah, it is, but it's more amazing to me that it's funny because we've been bombarded with commercials. We do it on this station. Every station does it. Every radio station, every TV station. Very few do you want to see again.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
You actually look forward to it. Like, we're not getting paid to talk about this drink. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. That's what attracted me to it is how hilarious it is and how awesome this dude is that he could stand there and have that voice and look like that and say all of these things. You know, one of his other quotes is, a true gentleman knows that a woman should smell like butterflies and salt taffy and that a man should smell like jet fighters and punching. I mean, that's my kind of guy, right?
Yeah, that's you.
So now, hey, it's not the guy I am. It's the guy that I wish I were.
Smells like a jet fighter and punching.
Jet fighting and punching, right. Sure. All right, so he's walking along on an actual boat on an actual beach with the horizon behind him, and at some point, right about the time that you start to see him with his hand, with the special effects with the hand with the diamonds and everything like that, he actually sits down onto something that is going to deliver him onto the back of a horse. Okay, he gets onto like a little rickshaw or something like that that's rigged up on a wire that pulls him as he continues to talk. Imagine all of this is going on off frame. And you're still having to be cool and calm and collected on screen.
Did you think Old Spice was a drink?
That's unbelievable.
So he's actually talking as he's being pulled onto the horse. And yes, it's a real horse because that was the mystery the first couple days when this commercial aired is how did they do the thing with the horse because it looks so real. It's a real horse and he's really on it.
Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
An advertising agency in Portland is the one that put this together. It took 3 days of shooting, and that was take 57. All the elements were in place. They just had to get the guy to keep doing it over and over and over again while they tried to get everything to match up perfectly
and look
as seamless.
Why you go to all that trouble? Why it has to all be done in one shot like that.
It's brilliant.
I mean, couldn't you have done it not doing it all
I imagine.
In one shot?
I don't know. But my whole thing is you could hear the people sitting around a conference table going, what should the out be? What should we? How should we close? I'm on a horse. is one of the strangest things I've ever heard. But it's great.
It is.
Because you can see that he's on a horse. But that's, that's what makes that dude so awesome, though.
I'm on a horse.
I so want to be Isaiah Mustafa.
Oh, you're very close. Another day or two, you'll be right there. K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:51.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of Bob Marley.
So, let me get this straight. Your defense is that you shot the sheriff, but you did not shoot the deputy.
Jaw.
But you did shoot the sheriff.
Jaw.
And you're admitting that.
Jaw.
We don't need to get him on the deputy. If we prove he killed the sheriff, that's a life sentence right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's defending himself on murder by confessing to a completely different murder.
I have this weird hunch he might be high.
Robbie, because he did a song called I Shot the Sheriff.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy.
See? Right. Are you going to have time to do the work you do for Seth MacFarlane's various TV shows once you're the star of Sharktopus, or are you going to have to cut back on that, too?
I'm going in Thursday, as a matter of fact, to record a little Family Guy.
Wow, what if the guy from Sharktopus goes Thursday? We got a planning meeting.
I will have to set up some sort of remote recording equipment on the set of Sharktopus.
Okay, so you got to
have... I can do it all.
Got to have priorities.
I put it in my dressing room, in my trailer. I'll have that put in my contract as a writer.
All right, well, coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman pitches himself, and he's got a lot of good ideas. I suspect he has spent more time thinking about Sharktopus than the Sci-Fi Channel that is going to be airing it. So that'll be coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
See, in my version, Dr. Achilles Hardigan, my character, marine paleontologist and former Navy SEAL, comes across a block of ice, and encased within is the Sharktopus. Okay, see, it's an ancient creature that was caught up in a flash freeze during the ice age.
Where did you read this? Where did you
read this? This is all from my fertile imagination, my friend. You say the word Sharktopus, and all kinds of things spring to mind.
But maybe they have a story already.
Oh, that's not as good. Trust
me. All right,
we'll
ask them.
We'll have to toss out that other script.
Okay,
I'm ready to go. Speaking of scripts. And movies that may not necessarily need one. You know they do these XXX parodies now of all these TV shows and movies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're working on a 1960s Batman, by the way, which scares me. I don't know if I want to combine those two obsessions of mine, porn and that TV series.
Like you haven't already.
In my own personal life when I'm in the costume, sure. But they've just announced, this comes from New Sensations, the porn company, The Big Lebowski, a XXX parody. Do we need a Big Lebowski?
No.
With porn?
So. No.
Do they even have a wacky porn title for it, or they just call it The Big Lebowski, the porn edition?
The Big Lebowski, a XXX parody, it's called.
Yeah.
Come on.
Tom Byron, legendary porn star Tom Byron, will apparently be playing the dude.
Woo!
I don't want to know who's playing John Goodman's character, and I certainly don't want to see him naked.
But apparently Mike does.
Yeah,
you could have told us who the female lead is. You wouldn't have heard a word from him.
No, but Tom Byron's been around for a long time.
All right, so
just saying.
Does it deserve that kind of? What's that about?
He's accomplished a lot.
All right, take it easy.
He's accomplished copious amounts. So I just want to give you a heads up. More casting news. Remember, I was telling you about that comedy pilot that was sold off the idea of a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Called S, My Dad Says.
Oh, right,
There's this writer, apparently, who lists on Twitter all the wacky comments his dad makes to him.
Right.
Which makes, I suppose, for entertaining tweeting.
Maybe.
But to create an entire TV series around it, I thought was ill-advised. Well, I may have to stand corrected.
Really?
Because the casting has come through on the pilot, and apparently William Shatner will be playing the dad who says the S.
Yay!
Oh, that's pretty cool. So all the wacky, inappropriate, politically incorrect things that this dad says will come out of the mouth of William Shatner. Now I may be interested.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could take a half an hour of just a camera trained on him and him just saying things. And I say, okay, I'm watching.
Just reading him?
Yes.
So, we should talk to him.
Shatner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. The real one, I mean.
Oh, well, let's talk about you.
Oh. I think,
either way.
I'd like to hear about this this project. And more TV news, an FCC scandal that doesn't involve us for once. Glad to hear that.
Oh, thank God.
This is an investigation regarding Fox's game show, Our Little Genius. Do you remember Our Little Genius?
No.
It was on for about a half a minute. Right?
No. It never aired, Ralph. Never aired. They pulled it before it aired.
It was behind, the executive producer behind the show was Mark Burnett. And apparently Our Little Genius was a premise where little kids, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, would go up against grown-ups in a battle of wits, a battle of how much do you know. Sort of like are you smarter than a fifth grader kind of vibe.
Okay.
But it turns out that parents of one contestant were claiming their kid was fed the answers.
Oh.
Really?
Parents said that producers instructed their child to memorize specific pieces of arcane musical nomenclature.
I don't even know what that means.
That means little-known musical references, like archipelago, or not that. That's not a real word. But there's like certain musical phrases and stuff that this kid was...
That the kid would have no way of knowing.
He said, you know what would be a good idea? You should look into these words. You should look.
We're not
into,
saying, but just no, if you want.
It would be good for you, I think, just to read this book on arcane musical terms.
This sounds exactly like the movie Quiz Show, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is another Quiz Show scandal. So apparently the FCC is looking into it and could be big, big trouble for Fox and for Mark Burnett if these charges turned out to be founded. So we'll have to wait and see.
I find it hard to believe that they would be that dumb.
I do too. But here's the thing. In the world of reality television, I think the line is getting blurred because you can play fast and loose with a lot of rules in reality television. For example, if it had come out that American Idol was fixed, that would not be a violation of this FCC Act. This law is only specific to intellectual challenges. It's a very specific regulation.
And there's nothing intellectual about American Idol.
That's right. It's a singing competition. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So if it was The Biggest Loser or American Idol or a lot of the other reality competition shows, you could actually affect the outcome without crossing the line here. But when it comes to specific question and answer type challenges, when it comes to intellectual knowledge, they have a very specific set of rules in place. So
that makes sense because American Idol, the judging is subjective, basically, right, for the most part. It's not right or wrong answers.
Right.
But it didn't air. So how can they? What's the charge if it never aired? Did it air once?
No,
I don't believe it did.
It was scheduled to be on after American Idol when American Idol came back, and Kevin Pollak was the host, and everybody was like, "Okay, here we go." And a few days later, they pulled the plug on it.
Well, that's why they pulled the plug.
Kevin Pollak
was the host. Had I known that,
what were the names of the contestants be?
Last, they were all from India. I don't know. Last I heard, though, they were going to reshoot it and try to get it back on.
How much do you know about this story?
Well, it's. Try to say current.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
And this is funny. I guess Playgirl's trying to get into the celebrity naked picture business like Playboy does, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They did Palin's almost son-in-law, right? The Kate Johnson was his name?
Levi.
Levi Johnson. Now, apparently, they are offering $1 million to PETA if Michael Vick will pose nude for their magazine.
Wow.
They said they will donate $1 million towards the cause of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals if legendary dog fighter and football quarterback Michael Vick will pose nude for their magazine.
What does he get out of it?
Yeah.
He gets to show his wang.
Right. But yeah. And then he gets to be made fun of in the locker room for the rest of his life.
Michael could use the million, quite
frankly.
Yeah,
maybe.
So if you're going to give out $1 million, if you want Michael Vick to pose, you may want to dangle it in front of him.
That's what I'm saying.
Dangle.
I guess they're thinking that...
Easy, Lisa. Spokesperson for Playgirl says, I figured he paid back society for dog fighting, but what about the animals? This way he could donate a large sum to PETA, and all he'd have to do is pose for a magazine. It's a win-win situation. Yeah, except one of the winners is naked!
But since he's a Philadelphia Eagle, though, Ralph, there has to be a part of you that wants to see him naked, right? Because they're your
team. No! Oh, please.
I don't want to see
you
any of the Eagles.
You
want to
see them all
naked.
All of them.
Why would I want to see them naked?
Because you love them with an unnatural love.
I do love them, but it has nothing. It's not a sexual love.
It is. It's crossed the line.
Well, McNabb maybe, okay. But not the rest of them.
All right. Andy Reid, maybe.
Yeah. How many centerfolds would you need for Andy Reid to be naked? Today's celebrity birthdays. Following celebrities born today, February the 23rd, Peter Fonda. Peter Fonda, actor and director, is 70 years old today. Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement is 59. Kristen Davis celebrates her 45th birthday today. Niecy Nash is 40. Emily Blunt is 27 years old. And little Dakota Fanning, little tiny Dakota Fanning, is now all grown up at 16 years old today.
She's got to be 40, doesn't she?
She's been famous my whole life.
As we've been alive. Yeah.
And
she's growing into quite the young lady, too. She is really pretty. I won't say how pretty she is until
for two more years.
I'll talk right. about how pretty. But she's very lovely at 16. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, do you just need us to step out? Do you need a private moment alone with the Sharktopus, or can we eavesdrop, or how do you want to handle this?
Well, since it's probably the last time we'll be working together, if you guys want to hang out and help with the interview, I'd be happy to have you.
Thanks,
sort of a
man.
Farewell.
Thank you. Before we go to our guest from the Sci-Fi Channel who's on the phone, Ralph, tell me how this obsession of yours started.
Well, news broke on the internet last week. It really just was like a forest fire. How it took over the internet. Karen O'Hara, the director of original movies at the Sci-Fi Channel, announced that they were working alongside with legendary producer Roger Corman to bring to us finally on the television screen Sharktopus, which is a TV movie about a horrible half-shark, half-octopus creature.
Has this been made before?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's been in the talks for a long, long time.
Oh, it has. Okay.
And finally, it's coming to a TV screen near you. And once I heard about Sharktopus, I became obsessed. And I realized it is my destiny to appear in the movie called Sharktopus.
Okay. I hope they share your passion for that.
They're going to have to, because my passion is infectious.
Okay.
All right. Much like herpes or some other viral contaminant. I am sweeping the nation with my fiery passion for a Sharktopus.
That is certainly the image you want to put in somebody's mind when you're trying to get them to hire you, is the herpes one. All right, let's try Mr. Tom Vitale, who's on the line from the Sci-Fi Channel. He is the Vice President of Programming and Movies? Is that right, Tom?
Close enough. How are you guys?
Good, thank you, Tom.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, you've heard Ralph's excitement. Is this something you're hearing from other people around the world as Sharktopus marches forward?
Yeah, it's amazing. What one little tweet online and it just caught fire, like Ralph's herpes. It's all over the
place. That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
Spreading throughout the nation.
That's just not what I wanted to hear.
How far into the process are you? Has the thing even been written yet?
Yep. We have a script. Roger Corman has been all over this. He's been incredible to work with. I got to tell you, there's nothing better than sitting down with Roger Corman and just breaking an idea for an original movie with Roger.
Sure.
I mean, that's just an incredible experience.
Here's my question. I think this is very important. And, Ralph, just hold your breath for a second. It's not finished, is it?
It's not finished.
Okay, good.
No. It couldn't be finished
because
I need to be in it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just.
And for those who don't know, Roger Corman is a legendary B-movie director who made the original Little Shop of Horrors, and for decades now, he has been a movie producer who is sort of famous, especially in sort of the monster movie, B-movie genre.
Roger's getting an honorary Academy Award this year.
There you go.
Wow.
How about
it?
Big deal he is.
It really does take talent to walk this fine line of a movie like this without making it bad.
To make cheap movies that are also entertaining
yes.
is not easy. It's not easy to make expensive movies that are entertaining, quite frankly.
How much can you give away, Tom, about the plotline of Sharktopus?
Well, it's have you guys watched the Sci-Fi Saturday movies? These movies are over the top. They're
yes.
fun. They're just kind of the movies that you sit back, order some pizza, grab a beer, and just, you know, it's pure entertainment.
It helps. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus is one of our favorites, by the way, Tom.
That's a great one. We've done such fun movies. We've had Dino Shark. We've had movies called, you know, the classics like Rock Monster and Sharks in Venice. And, of course, you know, Mansquito.
Mansquito,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mansquito. I remember that.
Mansquito was awesome. I forgot about Mansquito.
And Monster Arc, where Noah had a second arc with a demonic creature in it that got loose.
That's right, the very first arc. You didn't know about that arc, did you?
What is happening?
I love Monster Arc.
What world is this that we're listening to right now?
Mansquito.
I like it.
Well, Ralph, I know you spent a lot of time since you heard about Sharktopus working up a character for you to play in the movie. And would this be an excellent time for you to bring it up to Tom?
Well, Tom, I wanted to take this opportunity, since we're talking with you, to audition for the role here on the radio. I haven't had a chance to look at the script yet, so I kind of had to invent my own script on my own character for the film, but I hope it'll give at least a representation of how I see myself fitting in to the Sharktopus legend.
I love this. This will be a great audition. I'm ready.
Okay. So what I've done, I've sort of doctored up a scene here, and in this scene, Tom, I play Dr. Achilles Hardigan, who is not only a marine paleontologist, but also a former Navy SEAL. And I am in charge of the research vessel known as the Narwhal, and we are currently at sea trying to track down and stop the Sharktopus. So in this scene, I am battling it out with an admiral from the Navy, trying to convince him that I am the only one really who has the technology sufficient enough to stop Sharktopus.
And you say you haven't read the script yet. Wow.
No,
that's
I haven't.
Scary.
This is all just sort of off the top of my head here.
He's seen a lot of these movies.
For your consideration, Ralph Garman as Dr. Achilles Hardigan.
Damn it, Admiral. How many more innocent people have to die before you let me take control of this operation? Because besides my doctorate in marine paleontology, I'm also a former Navy SEAL. And I'm your last, best hope for stopping this creature. Don't be a fool, Admiral. Your conventional weapons have no chance against Sharktopus. Our only hope is for me to get close to the creature and launch the cephalopod cellular disruptor I've invented. It's experimental, but it just might work. Admiral? Admiral! A damn fool. Clark, I'm going up on deck to check on the sensor array. This is odd. The sensors are working perfectly. There doesn't seem to be any marine life for miles. It's as if they're all afraid of something. It's quiet. Almost too quiet. Sharktopus! Save your bullets, Anderson! There's only one thing that's gonna stop this monster, and that's this device of mine! And I'm gonna have to stick it right down this bastard's throat! Come on, you son of a bitch! Come and get me! Damn you, Sharktopus!
Dr. Achilles Hardigan gives his life.
Come on.
Sharktopus.
Wow.
I love it. I love it. You're not available for the sequel, that means, but I love it.
But my twin brother, Dr. Hercules Hardigan, would be available.
So what do you think, Tom? Is there room for Ralph's vision in the Sharktopus movie that you've got?
I think, we'll have our people call his people.
That is showbiz talk for go F yourself.
That is no thank you.
Could I have the role of the admiral? Can I do that? I'd like to do that.
If I could.
Tom, this movie isn't a movie unless you've got somebody yelling, "Damn you, Sharktopus." You know that has to be in the film somewhere.
I think that's already in the script.
I'm sure it is.
So thanks, Ralph. Have a nice day. That's what you're saying.
Ralph was born to play in this movie. This is the role that he's lived his whole life for. Everything he's done up to this point has prepared him for Sharktopus, Tom. I can't emphasize enough how much you need him in this movie.
It sounds perfect. I got it.
Well, talk to your people.
We'll talk to our people.
Then have your people turn down my people.
I do it, but it's up to Roger, of course.
Of course.
All right. Last question for you then, Tom. You've been very kind to come on and accept our nonsense here. Tom Vitale from the Sci-Fi Channel. When is Sharktopus scheduled to air? What's the current plan right now?
It's probably about a year away.
About a year. Okay.
About a year away. But coming up, if you like Roger Corman and Roger Corman movies, we've got Dino Croc airing on March 13th.
Dino Croc.
Dino Shark.
Dino Shark.
Dino Shark.
Oh, that was a new one. All right.
And the Dino Shark.
And this Saturday is Beauty and the Beasts, which is another original movie that we have this Saturday night at 9. So we're feeding you this stuff every month.
Is that Estrella Warren in that one?
Yep.
All right, take it easy.
She looks
so hot.
Fantastic in this. Yeah. Very short skirt.
Yeah, I know how to sell, Tom. Well, talk to Roger Corman and tell him that Ralph Garman needs to be in Sharktopus.
You got
would
it.
You please?
All right.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, bye now.
Take care.
Nicely done, Ralph. If you don't get that role.
Maybe I'll just make my own Sharktopus.
Make your own.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sharktopus. Yeah, that's right.
Come out like
me wrestling with a big rubber Sharktopus.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. For folks who live within driving distance of Disneyland, big news as Captain EO, starring Michael Jackson in 3D, returns to the park today. We'll tell you about that coming up and why Apple is taking all the hot chicks off of the iPhone applications. A very disturbing trend. All of that coming up in the next few minutes right here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
I wish we had time to do this, but we don't. So,
unfortunately, we're going to squeeze it in.
Michael Jackson thing.
Because apparently DJ Omar Khan has been in the lab working on embarrassing all of us.
Well, we do a fine job of that on our own, as you will notice by this moment with.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
Yeah. That was a moment with Kevin.
Heavily edited, of course. But we were talking about time wasters at work, and I was talking about StumbleUpon.com, which is where you can put in your preferences, and then it gives you websites and things you like. And I said that.
What do you suppose went wrong there? What do you suppose happened there?
Dude,
how did you become allergic to verbs all of a sudden?
I don't know. What always goes wrong? And I have a short circuit, and I don't know what happens, but it happens, unfortunately. So we got that. And then I don't know if you guys remember when Miss Cleo was giving clues for Foo Fighter song titles. And she was trying to get the caller to say times like these.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
So we were fascinated by that and played the hell out of it. Because she started with it's a clock and a clock.
Right, because she was trying to think of she was trying to figure out a way to get. It's like the old password game on TV,
right?
We play called Title Fight. So she's trying to get the caller to say times like these. So she's trying to think of anything else. All right, I've already said clock. That's times. Now what do I say for like these? And she just got stuck and just started circling back, and she couldn't say anything but clock for 10 seconds.
Yeah. So Omar, who clearly has too much time on his hands, decided that this needed to be remixed together, and he's done that.
A clock.
Yes, and you
with the clock, and it's
hours.
Those and
you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're
similar to
clock.
Similar to and clock.
Hours. And it just did, I right up here, and it just did, I
clock.
Hours.
A clock.
Hours.
Clock.
Hours.
A clock.
Hours.
With the clock.
Yes. And
similar to
hours.
That's take two. Remix.
So my head hurts.
Ooh, Paramore. They're from Tennessee.
I love them.
You're listening to the Kevin Mead Show. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat again in minutes. Look, I want to make sure it's completely clear here that we love Disneyland. They are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Everything they do is great.
Right.
Everything they do is not only great, but the best that it's ever been done. And they're the happiest place on earth. And they're the least likely to get us fired if we say something bad about them. Having said that, Captain EO is back. Ladies and gentlemen, today Captain EO had been pulled from Disneyland, the 3D Michael Jackson movie, and now it returns today. And apparently it has been dusted off with new effects and will look and sound better than ever. This is very exciting news for folks going to the park and for fans of Michael Jackson. So we thought, let's find out from the man himself what is new with Captain EO as we dial up the hotline to heaven and get Mr. Michael Jackson on the horn. Hey, Mike.
EO! How you doing? I'm bad.
Wow, you sound good. You sound happy. What's going on?
I'm very excited because one of my favorite projects ever, Captain EO, is going to be returning to the big screen, and people will get to watch it and appreciate all the work that Francis Ford Coppola and myself put into that film.
Yeah, he was the director of the movie and George Lucas executive produced, and yeah. It's 17 minutes long, but it has a pretty elaborate storyline from what I recall, Michael.
Yes, it's a futuristic tale of Captain EO, played by me, and it's how he saves the world, and it's filled with lots of music mm-hmm. and some great songs, like Captain EO and Tennille.
What?
That's one song.
That's not a song. I don't think. Are you sure?
Ride, Captain EO, upon your mistress.
That's
ship.
Not the music at all.
No, I don't remember what's in it. Really,
I think there was another part of me was one.
Yes,
was
one of
them.
Yes.
And then there was an original or something. I don't.
Yes, another one called "You Must Be Shorter Than This Sign to Ride This Ride." It's about the little kids who come on Captain EO's spaceship and go
right.
for a ride. In
all right, take
the
it
magical.
Easy.
Deck chair.
Okay. Is that all what you're calling
that's
it?
Shaped like Captain EO's.
Okay.
Lap.
So, is it for little kids or is it for fans of all ages?
No, little kids.
Oh, it is.
Only.
Okay.
Adults wouldn't like it. Just
well,
kids would
don't
enjoy it.
I don't
like
think you should put
Peter
it that
Pan.
Way.
And it's in a new theater. Since Captain EO originally showed at Disneyland, they've updated the theater for Honey, I Shrunk the Audience,
uh-huh.
which was the feature that was there before this. And uh-huh. so there's some new special effects in the building itself, which is very exciting.
Like what kind of special effects? What's different?
They added some things for the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience exhibit. Like there's a big rumbling earthquake kind of scene.
Uh-huh.
And so you're sitting there, and you feel the room starts to shake.
Oh, the actual room shakes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool.
And we'll be using this for when Captain EO is taking off in his spaceship.
Right.
So you'll be sitting there watching in 3D. And you'll hear this rumbling, and you'll feel it in the theater. It'll be very exciting.
It does sound good. I mean, that would definitely add to the enjoyment of the scene if you actually feel like you're in it.
Yes, and there's another feature where there's this fluid that shoots out of...
Oh, God.
Wait.
What?
What? There's a fluid that shoots out.
There was a scene in Honey, I Shrunk the Audience where the audience would get doused with this fluid. And so there's a scene that we're going to use that for, Captain EO.
What? How does that work exactly?
Captain EO is really excited.
Right?
About saving the universe.
Right, but...
And so he gathers...
You can't... Michael,
so what's,
so
what's the fluid, though?
All the children of the
universe. And he cries? Are they tears?
Are you crying? You laughing? What?
I'm just so moved by the
You're
story.
Moved. Yeah.
And so he anoints them all with a special essence that will let them fly through the universe.
Oh, my God. Oh, come on.
Damn out.
Come on. There's no mist in your face.
There is. There's a
no,
mist in your face.
Come on.
And there's a new song I've recorded for the show as well called Mist in Your Face. And I hope you'll bring the kids.
So the kids will all walk out and they'll be damp.
They'll be misted by Captain EO's magical mist.
All right. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
That does sound like fun for the whole family
it
after
sure
all.
Does.
Woo. All right, Michael, thank you.
All righty.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me.
Now back to Ralph Garvin. Time for the showbiz beat.
Sadly, he's not me.
He's not me.
I want to give you a heads up this Saturday night at the El Portal Theater. Adam Carolla's live podcast. We're doing it once again. I am doing both the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock shows. I believe there are tickets available for both, but maybe just the 10 o'clock show. First show is me and Adam and Rob Riggle. Very funny actor and comedian from The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. You see him in The Hangover and The Goods. Very, very funny guy. The 10 o'clock show is like a little Kevin and Bean reunion. Little radio reunion. It's me and Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, fantastic. Stop by.
So that's a pretty loaded show for the 10 o'clock show. Saturday night, the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood, California. If you'd like more details, you can go to adamcarolla.com. That's where you can buy the tickets as well. So come on down and check it out and have a good time.
Lisa, it's in a theater. I think you have to be there.
I know.
Yeah, it's a real deal theater, too. It's not like one of them comedy clubs. No. It's a real deal theater.
But it's good, so she's out.
That's true. She wouldn't be interested.
Right. Yeah.
What if we talked about vaginas?
I'm in.
I wonder if a weatherman was doing a one-man show there.
Oh, my God. It's a dream come true.
No, I bet
Are
it
you
is.
Kidding me?
Speaking of acting, were we?
No.
Not so much.
Oh. Well, earlier we were with Sharktopus.
Sure.
Bristol Palin is set to make her acting debut.
Really?
Got her first TV role. She was going to be playing herself, apparently, on the ABC family drama The Secret Life of the American Teenager. I'm thrilled to be a part of the show, she says, and to be part of a program that educates teens and young adults about the consequences of teen pregnancy. Yeah, apparently, if you're a teenager, you get pregnant, you get to be on television. That's the consequences. You get to an acting career over on ABC Family. That doesn't seem like such a bad thing.
Yeah. Odd.
I don't know about this Bristol Palin, and now she's claiming she's going to be a virgin again. She's not going to have sex again until she's married.
Abstinence only. Abstinence only for Bristol Palin.
Right, so the next guy that dates her, A, is dating a teenager with a kid, and B, isn't getting any sex from her. She's now officially a prize.
Yeah, she is. She's a keeper.
But at least her mom's cool. So you got that going.
That's right.
Oh, Tyra Banks is a man.
What?
Tyra Banks is a man. Don't ask me. Ask Janice Dickinson, who worked alongside of her for years on America's Next Top Model. She's huge, says Janice Dickinson to StarPulse.com. She's a big woman. I used to think she was a man. I used to look at her and think, something isn't right here. Janice apparently was fired from America's Next Top Model for calling Tyra Banks fat.
Well, she was.
Yeah, she was.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Yeah,
big ones.
She's not the first supermodel to be canned from the show, by the way. Paulina Poroskova apparently is also fired last year. So
Wow.
Tyra doesn't like sharing the limelight.
Too hot?
Nope.
Apparently.
Is she too hot for Tyra?
Will you embrace my big fat ass?
No, I will not. Nor will I embrace your giant five head.
She's annoying.
On every level, that's all.
Just every level.
Rihanna.
Yes.
Says it's not easy being one of the biggest pop stars on earth.
Tell me about it.
Sometimes even Rihanna has her rough days. For example, she likes to sunbathe in the nude in her backyard.
Oh. All right.
And she says it's a problem because sometimes she forgets when the pool guy is supposed to come over to clean the backyard pool.
Right.
And so often she said the guy will just walk back there and she'll be just laying out wearing nothing but a smile.
Come on.
Oh, come on. He's there to clean the pool.
That's not fair.
It's embarrassing for everyone, really.
If I'm that pool guy and that happens once, I am at that gate at the ready 24 hours
Your
a day.
Your pool should be cleaned every day, Rihanna, really, yeah. If you want to keep it sparkling.
We have to do a phone-in topic with pool guys. Pool guys must
what
have
What pool
stories.
Guys have seen?
Oh, yeah.
Be awesome.
Apparently, Rihanna's personal assistant is now responsible for giving her a reminder on what day the pool guy comes so that she can be bikinied up.
Oh.
And won't be embarrassing herself or the pool guy. So that's a new responsibility that falls to her personal assistant. Keep her in mind when not to be naked.
Oh. I mean, wouldn't you think that would be half the reason to be a pool guy is for instances like that?
Yeah.
Half? Because it's not the best job in the world.
I'm going
but
with about 99%. What else are you getting out of that job?
You get to be on
one. I really like to push a pole.
Oh!
Really all about
working the pole. You get to be outdoors, and you have some flexibility with your hours. You don't have a boss breathing down your neck
day
to day.
You can tell Bean's a guy who's never had a real job in his life. You can tell.
What?
You get to be outdoors. That sounds wonderful.
For some people, they want a job like that when they get to be outdoors.
Those guys who dig ditches really haven't made. They get to be outdoors in the summertime.
Work with
their hands. 105 out, and they get the exercise of digging ditches. How lucky they must be.
Come on. You know that there are some people who would much prefer an outdoor job, even if it involved a little bit of physical labor, rather than be, you know, wearing a tie and sitting behind a desk.
No, they prefer the idea of that job. That's what they prefer. Well, no one wants to be out in 100 degrees fishing leaves out of a pool.
Right. But if you are and you see Rihanna topless,
then it makes it all worse.
Now you stay.
Yeah.
There you
absolutely.
Go. Stay forever. At Rihanna's house is what I'm saying.
Jessica Simpson. She's got her new show, The Price of Beauty, by the way, coming up on VH1.
Oh, very that's going to be so good.
I can't wait to see her host a series of documentaries.
High quality.
She is announcing she's got a new line of Jessica Simpson wristwatches.
Oh, finally.
Yes. Just as soon as Jessica learns how to tell time, she said she will be wearing one herself. So, see, she's not smart. By the way, she's getting a pig, she said, to make up for her dog.
Yeah, that's
that was eaten by the coyote.
That's a bad decision. Oh, that's good.
She's going to buy a pig.
Excellent.
I guess pigs don't get carried off by coyotes very often.
If they do, they're more delicious than dogs.
She said she's thinking about...
they're a better meal.
She's thinking about getting a pig. And she wonders if that's a sign from God that she should stop eating pork. I don't understand that. But we'll
she needs to stop talking.
So much.
Entirely.
Guys like Ian McShane, did you watch Deadwood when it was on HBO?
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally.
Boy, is he a good actor. Good news for those of us looking forward to the next Pirates of the Caribbean sequel. Apparently, he's in talks with the producers about playing the villain in that film. It'll be Captain Jack Sparrow versus Blackbeard, played by Ian McShane. Sound good?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great choice. Good casting.
Right, I mean. And I wish I had said this earlier because you could talk to Michael about it. But Michael Jackson, of course, legendary, a famous member of the Jackson 5 before his solo career took off. Jackson 5 is reuniting for a world tour later this year.
Okay.
It may seem problematic to you that the Jackson 5 get back together.
Jackson 4.
Well, actually, it's going to be the Jackson 5 because Janet Jackson will be stepping in for Michael. So it'll be Jermaine, Tito, Randy, Nasty, Spicy, Sleepy, Grumpy, Doc, and Dopey.
I don't think all of those are.
And then Janet. So she will make up the fifth Jackson 5 when they go out on tour.
That's less impressive.
Jermaine just confirmed it.
Economically, though, that makes more sense because she's not much of a concert draw anymore with her catalog. So maybe this would be something.
She can do her hits, and they can do their hits, and everybody be everybody.
Yeah.
I'd give you an A for effort, but this isn't UC Santa Cruz.
That's right. next show is Beat, by the way. In about an hour, I'll be giving away tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of Dexter. How about that?
Such a great show.
How would you like a little of that? I miss Julie Benz already.
Such a great show.
Fifth season hasn't even started yet. I know. Today's celebrity birthday is Dakota Fanning. Is 16 years old today. Looking at a lot of photos of her this morning.
Because it's her birthday. You know, they're all over the internet.
Of course, yeah.
She's a lovely young girl. She's really
growing
into a woman.
Didn't she sound 30 when she was 7?
She's always been a little advanced for her age. Emily Blunt is 27 years old today. Niecy Nash celebrates her 40th birthday. Isn't it odd that James Blunt was...
Yeah,
his birthday
yesterday.
Was yesterday, and Emily Blunt's birthday is today?
One not hot, one hot.
Yeah, it's a lot of Blunts. Niecy Nash is 40 years old today. Kristen Davis is 45. Patricia Richardson celebrates her 59th birthday, and actor, director Peter Fonda celebrates his 70th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's a good one. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Nirvana on the way, Rise Against, and Blur. I'm happy to say that we've got a guy in the Rolodex for occasions just like this. Alex is the editor of Craps, K-R-A-P-P-S.com. It's an awesome site that has everything to do with all apps for the iPhone. And boy, do we have something to talk to Alex about, because the news that came down from Apple this week is just, it will not stand. I'm sorry.
It's communist. I go so far as to say it's communist.
If I understand correctly, and Alex will set me wrong if I'm wrong here, he'll set me straight if I'm wrong here. They are every iPhone app that has a hot chick in it is now removed from the App Store, no longer allowed to be used with no notice, just out of the blue. It's almost like the Germans just came in and they just changed everything overnight. Alex, am I overstating it, or is that pretty much what's going on right now?
Hey guys, good morning. No, you are absolutely correct. Basically, any application that's, as Apple puts it, overtly sexual in content has been banned.
Now, this has been an ongoing argument, right? I mean, at the beginning they said none, and then they started letting some in, and now they're going back.
Right, exactly. And they actually started removing more of the extreme apps, like the hand bras and the pasties, back on January 29th. And so, you know, there was a few there. Then they started banning apps that had provocative screenshots where you could go into iTunes, look at these apps, and, you know, see the pasty and the hand bra girls. So they started getting rid of those. But, this latest round, which started on Thursday, so far they've banned over 5,000 applications.
Wow.
Okay, now I have many questions on this story, Alex. I'm so glad you were able to talk to us today. First of all, Apple... they run at their own pace. They make their own decisions. They're very insulated. They're not very open to communicating with the outside world. Sometimes that works to their advantage because, you know, you go to a Steve Jobs conference, you don't know what he's going to unveil because nothing has been leaked out until the day he shows up. That's exciting. But if you're a guy who's making a living with an app, you're selling a bikini car wash app or something like that, and that's your livelihood, all of a sudden you literally wake up one day with no notice and you're out of business, right?
Exactly. See that's the problem that's going on. The guidelines Apple is giving to these developers is very, hidden. They just don't exactly know what's going on. They could invest 8 months, thousands of dollars into an app and then get it rejected for whatever reason. Now the latest round of these removals, there was no heads up. These developers were basically blindsided. So they woke up one morning and their basic business was gone.
Wow.
Unbelievable. What do you suppose is going on? Has there been a lot of pushback from consumers saying, hey, I don't want to have these apps on my phone? And the follow-up to that question is, isn't there some sort of parental control that they can put on an app? So if adults want it, they can get it. If they don't want kids to have it, they can make that happen too.
Right. Let's actually answer that one first. So indeed, Apple put in parental controls where, you know, apps are rated. So the apps that are rated 17+, parents can push a button, and the kids will not have the ability to actually download the app. Now, the problem is they can still see the app and its description and the screen preview screenshots in iTunes, and some of those are getting very, you know, risky and risque. So, you know, we mentioned Apple doesn't really talk. Well, actually, Phil Schiller, he's like one of the spokesmen for Apple. He went on with the New York Times last night, and he actually did address the issue as far as why this is going on. And Phillips said that basically Apple was getting customer complaints. Women were finding the content too degrading and objectionable. And the parents were upset, and they didn't want the kids seeing that. So basically Apple said, hey, you know what? We're going to put the parents and the kids' needs first. So all these apps are gone.
Okay, first of all, Who wants to live in a country where you can no longer download the Asian Bikini Fart app? That's first of all, okay?
Didn't even know about that one.
Oh, yeah, that was one that got pulled.
And second of all, if a kid can connect to iTunes to look at the application store, then he's got the internet at his fingertips.
Right.
He doesn't need to go to the app store to look at naked women. It's available on every other site online.
Yeah, you know, the argument is, well, is Apple going to ban their internet browser Safari from the App Store? Because, like you said, I mean, you can get all the porn you want off the internet browser.
Right.
So,
wait a minute. Correct. Wait. There's porn online?
No, I'm sorry. Did I say that? My bad.
All right. So, but seriously, I mean, how far are they taking it?
It's interesting because, you know, they made this massive sweep, and they started banning apps that didn't have any sexual content. For example, there's an app called Wobble, and all it was a photo manipulation app. Excuse me. So the user would upload a picture and set targets on the picture, and those certain areas would actually wobble.
All right. Okay. Good. So, I like where you're going.
Right. So they banned it. Now, granted, you know, users were actually, you know, uploading bikini girls, putting, you know, picture, you know, those targets on their boobs, and they got the, you know, jiggly boobs going on. But the point is, Wobble did not have anything sexual in there. There was an app called Simply Beach, and that was basically an online retailer's bikini site where they sold bikinis. And, you know, they had pictures of girls in bikinis. Nothing provocative, just pictures of girls in bikinis, and they banned that.
Wow. But
the interesting thing is Playboy still has an application. Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Models still has an application.
All right. Well, let's not point that out too loudly. What's wrong with you?
So yeah. Wait a minute. So a Sports Illustrated Swimsuit, you can get that on the SI app, but girls in swimsuits from a company that's trying to sell swimsuits, somehow that's been removed.
Right. Now, Apple did address that issue, and they said the reason Sports Illustrated remains is because they are a well-known company mm-hmm. with previously published material available in a well-accepted format. And that's a quote from Phil Schiller. So he's saying, hey, you know what? If you guys are well-known, I don't know what, Penthouse, Hustler, Playboy, go for it. You can stay. But all you little guys, sorry, you got to go.
How about that? Now, Apple owns they own this universe that the rest of us are operating in, so they're allowed to make whatever rules they want. If people don't like it, they don't have to use the product. I guess that's the bottom line, right?
Right. I mean, you know what? This is their app store, and they can make all the rules they want, and developers, I mean, it's basically they're the only game in town. What's really going on is the iPad. They are essentially will be releasing the iPad in a few months, and they're going to be positioning that for families and for and schools. So they really need to clean up the App Store and efforts for that iPad to really penetrate the market that they want.
So there's method behind the madness.
There is. You know, they're not just coming out and bluntly saying it. And also, if you think about it, the iPad is going to compete with the Kindle, so you've got magazine subscriptions. So Sports Illustrated, Maxim, Cosmo, Playboy, that's a good revenue stream for them.
Right.
For
absolutely.
All the magazines.
No, that's an outstanding point. If you're just joining us, by the way, we're preparing to say goodbye to our friend Alex. He is the editor of a fantastic site. If you are obsessed as we are with Apple apps, you can go to craps.com, K-R-A-P-P-S.com. This is what happens. I tried to warn all you people when we elected that foreigner president. I said that you're going to start seeing things change here.
You didn't
not
say
gonna
that.
Be, it's not going to be.
Not a foreigner.
It has nothing
not
to do with
gonna,
him. Not a
it's
foreigner.
Not, it's not going to be the America that you thought you were living in once that foreigner gets in office. You elected African, man. This is what happens.
There's so many things wrong with that.
All right, Alex. Well, thank you very much for the insight. I think you make an excellent point about that iPad thing, because it's one thing if it's one-on-one, a guy with his phone looking at sexy pictures. It's another thing if you're trying to present, hey, here's the Apple universe for classrooms, and I can totally see how that makes sense. I don't like it, but at least I understand it a little better having you on the show today. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph Garman has joined us in studio. I'm very confused by this story that Ralph is going to tell us, because I thought you hate all people and all people suck, Ralph.
No. Some people suck, and I hate some people. But there's a lot of people who are good in the world, and I like those people.
Tell me about them.
This guy
I'll start at the beginning of the story. There's a couple from South Africa who went on their 25th wedding anniversary, took a trip to New York City, then hopped aboard a cruise liner and took a cruise across the Atlantic to England.
Okay.
Now, while they're on the cruise liner, they've bought a brand new digital camera. They're taking all these photos of – they don't get a vacation very often, so they have a special 25th anniversary vacation. Tons of pictures from New York and on the cruise line. And while they're on the cruise liner, the camera, the new digital camera, goes overboard.
Ugh.
So all their memories of their 25th anniversary trip are now at the bottom of the ocean.
Excellent.
Those are gone. Right.
So she shoved him into the water to go after
her? So she murdered him, yes. And that's why I love her, because she's a good person. She murdered her husband.
And thanks for coming in.
No. So anyway, time goes by, and there's this Spanish fisherman who is trolling the bottom of the sea, and he pulls up his net, and he's got fish and flotsam and jetsam and what have you, and inside the net is the digital camera, now corroded and ruined from being in the bottom of the ocean, but he pulls out the memory card, and that is still operational.
What?
It's true.
What?
Wait, how long is it down in the water, do we know? A period of months or?
A year?
15
year
months, it says. It was underwater for 15 months.
So the dude pulls it out, and he takes it upon himself to find out who these pictures belong to.
How would you do that?
He's got a buddy of his who's a cruising enthusiast. I'm not kidding. And he shows him the pictures. It's from these photos from these people in the ship. Can you tell what ship this was? And he says, oh, yeah, it looks like the so-and-so from this cruise line. So they call the cruise line and said, do you know? And he says, I can identify, I think, around what period of time they were traveling based on where they were going and what ship it was. And so they go and say, can you identify these people? And he said, no, we don't keep, like, photo records of our passengers. So they're looking at the photos and said, well, this guy's got a hat on that says Oxford, England, so he's probably a tourist because only tourists buy that hat. And he starts doing all this detective work.
Okay, now wait a second here.
It's a fisherman. It's a Spanish fisherman, by the way.
That's my point. It's not like he's the FBI and he's hot on Bin Laden's trail, so he's tracking down every lead. I mean, there's no incentive. They're not trying to bring a guy to justice or anything like that. This guy didn't murder the fisherman's wife or anything.
His only incentive is kindness.
But that doesn't happen.
So then he puts the photos up on a cruising fan website, hoping that someone would recognize these people. That doesn't work. He does an interview with a Spanish newspaper. That doesn't work. The BBC picks up on the story. They do a TV break on it. They put the pictures up on their website. A friend of the couple from South Africa sees the photos on the website.
Don't even go
says
there.
Says to them, your picture's on the BBC News website. They go there. They read the story. They find out. They contact the Spanish fishermen. They get all their photos back from their 25th anniversary trip. And now they've got all those memories back again.
Yay!
Thanks to the tireless efforts of this dude. So their next vacation, they said they're going to Spain, and they're going to meet the captain and his shipmates, and they're going to buy them dinner, and they're going to have a big reunion and thank them.
And the captain gets to bang his wife.
No, you're missing my point.
At a minimum.
There should be
a reward is what I'm saying.
I'm saying the reward is the good deed itself. Doing the good thing was reward enough for this fisherman, and I find that remarkable in this day and age, that strangers can still be so kind to other strangers.
Yes, but the Spanish fisherman held the photos for ransom and demanded a huge payout before he gave them back to the couple, right?
He did no such thing. He gladly handed them over with a song in his heart, knowing that he had reunited those people with their 25th anniversary memories.
We don't do this often because it's more funny than when people are bad. But when people are good, every once in a while, we try to bring up a phone topic like this. So
it blew me away, the whole story. I was so impressed with the fact that a stranger could be so kind to another stranger.
Yeah. That's what
it's
we
hard
want.
Not to find kindness amongst friends and family members, let alone complete strangers doing that for each other.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. And then, yes, we are going to be looking for acts of kindness from a stranger.
The most amazing thing a stranger ever did for you.
Right.
Or maybe you did for a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. 1-800-520-1067. There was no reason for you or the other person, whoever did the excellent deed, there was no reason for them to do it. There's no incentive in it for them other than they were just being nice. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. But let me ask you guys this question.
It comes out of Bean's mouth like it's fictional.
No, it's like molasses coming out. It's just
impossible.
I'll give you an example of something I did recently I felt really good about.
All right.
Okay. The house that I bought a couple years ago, apparently the address of where that house is, there used to be a famous person who lived there, an actor or actress who lived there. And so I got a fan letter from someone, from some kid, 12-year-old kid from Europe.
To whoever
owned that thing.
Okay.
Now, that person is long gone,
right. Obviously.
The house has been raised and rebuilt. I mean, long gone. But it was an adorable letter from somebody who was obviously a big fan and just asked for an autographed picture. So what I did was I went on eBay. And I found an autographed picture of this person, and I bought it, and I had it sent to me, and then I sent a little note and the picture in an envelope, and I sent it back to the other person.
You didn't do that.
Seriously? I
did do
that.
Let me tell you what Ralph really did.
I did that. That's what I did.
He printed out a picture of this person and signed it.
I did.
Because what's the kid going to know?
Because I was going to do that, but my wife said to me, if you're a collector of stuff, how would you feel if someone screwed you over and you thought you had an autograph actually of this person and it turns out not to be
but
that person?
But you wouldn't know.
But you might find out. And I wouldn't want this person to be disappointed either in the person they thought they were getting the picture from or the fact that I did it.
So at that point, you quit. You go, I'm not going to do that.
So I bought it on eBay. It got sent to me. And then I repackaged it and sent it off to the person. And it felt great doing something for someone I didn't even know.
What have you done with Ralph? Somebody send Ralph in.
Who's the celebrity? I have to know.
I don't want to say so because if you track down that celebrity, you'll know where I live. And that would be a bad thing.
I'm interested. Come on, tell me
everybody listening didn't go, wow, I wonder whose picture it was.
Right. Well, no, but the point is the act of doing it for
and
the
I
kid.
Got all that. And I understood all that.
But Asperger's missed the whole point of the story, didn't
you? All right. So the quick question. If you're the fisherman, I have to know this. If you're the fisherman and you pull up the tourist's camera in your net and you realize that there's a card in it with pictures on it, what would you do? Kevin, you were saying you can't believe the guys went to all this effort to track down the people in the camera. I'm just curious what you would have done with the camera yourself.
I really think that I would size it up as being a hopeless cause. Instantly, I would say...
So you're a quitter.
It's been at the bottom of the ocean.
So you're a quitter.
Yeah. It's
pretty insurmountable.
I would throw it out. I wouldn't even begin to look. I mean, and what are the chances that guy was going to find? What would you do, Bean? You would have stepped on it. Stomping on it. Make sure that nobody got it.
He would have told the people. He would have found the people, then taken the pictures and thrown them back overboard. And said, well, and guess what? You're never going to see
There's
your photos.
There's a map to where you can find
them. I found them and now they're gone.
All right. The nicest
and what celebrity used to live where you live?
Let me sell somebody it, Bean. Did Let me sell it, Bean.
Okay, go ahead.
No one, it's not realistic coming out of your mouth.
How dare you?
The most amazing thing a stranger did for you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We just heard a very heartwarming story from Ralph Garman that touched him a great deal about extraordinary lengths that a stranger went to do kindness for another. A Spanish fisherman found a camera that had been underwater for more than a year and went to huge, huge trouble, personal time and expense, to track down the owners of the camera and get their photos back to them. And that kind of prompted this phone topic at 1-800-520-1067. The most that anyone has ever done for a perfect stranger, whether you're the receiver or you're the receivee, we want to hear from you.
All right, let's talk to Bill first. Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Hi, what happened for you?
About 26 years ago, I had lost my school ring, and just recently somebody mailed me a letter saying that they had found it. I left it at, I think it was Newport Beach is where...
You left your school ring behind 26 years ago?
Lost it, yeah.
And just now they wrote?
Well, what happened was his son found it, I think about 9 years ago, his son found it, and they tried to contact me then and couldn't contact me. And then his son was going through the box, and the dad saw the ring and said, let me see if I can get a hold of that guy, and was able to track me down. And
how did they track you down? Did they call the school, or your initials were on it?
Well, they tried that 9 years ago. They tried to get some message board or something, he said, at the school that I came from. And,
right.
Couldn't get a hold of me then, but I guess through the computer he was able to track my address down.
I get that you could look at a school ring and know what school it's from. How do you know whose it is specifically?
Well, my name's inside the...
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go. Well, that makes
a little piece of the puzzle.
All right. Great story. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate that. Let's try Kara on line 5 calling into the Kevin and Bean Show. Random acts of kindness from strangers. Hi, Kara. What happened?
Recently some friends and I were in London on a trip, and we were on our way over to Abbey Road to take, you know, the famous Beatles picture crossing the street, and a phone started ringing in the cab, so we answered it. It was an Italian tourist who had lost his phone, so we had him meet us at Abbey Road, and in lieu of a reward, he went ahead and took the picture, so all three of my friends and I could be in the picture crossing the street.
Huh.
Oh, that's cool.
We got a lot of emails from people who have lost phones, and people have gone out of the way to try to track the person down rather than just go, hey, cool, free phone.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to change the service on that, and it seems like it wouldn't be that difficult, but that was nice of them.
Yeah,
absolutely. Nice. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's try, we got some interesting ones here. Let's try Jeremiah. He's on line 2. He did something that a lot of people wouldn't have done, I think. Jeremiah, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah, well,
first off, I'm not necessarily the nicest guy. So I was getting off the freeway in West Covina, and I spied somebody's wallet. So I scooped it up thinking I was coming up on loot, and there was only about $5 in it. So
Come on. They can't leave more money?
Well, you know, there was only $5, so I looked up the guy's information on Google and found a family member and tracked the guy down and told him my work hours. Well, here's the deal. The guy kind of gave me some crap about my work hours and made it hard to get him, you know, together with him to get his stuff back. And I'm like, come on, guy. I'm like trying to give you your stuff back here.
Yeah.
And then it was like, look, if you want your wallet back, you got to come to me, buddy. So.
And then you mugged him?
No, he finally came and got it. But,
did he give you a, I'm not suggesting this is why you did it, but I'm curious. Did he give you a reward?
No, I didn't even ask for it. I just, you know, I figured next time you better carry more money.
So if he had more money, you would have stolen it.
Well, either that or be wearing some of those new Kobe Bryant shoes, man. Those things are pretty fly.
All right. Okay, good.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. This is fascinating. Brian is calling us from Germany today. Hey, Brian, thanks for holding on, especially, and thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Actually, I'm from Fullerton. What happened was in Germany in 05.
Oh, okay.
And before I start, what's up, Lisa May?
What's up?
So you're in Germany.
Me and two buddies backpacked through Europe in 05. So we started in France, and it's a long story, but the last stop was Munich, Germany for Oktoberfest.
Nice.
So it didn't work out so well, was we were going to get there at noon, drink all day, and then our train to go back to the airport in Frankfurt left at 6 in the morning. So we were going to party all night, get on the train, get on the airplane and fly home.
Yeah, what could go wrong there?
What could go wrong? So apparently, you know, the German beers are brewed quite differently for Oktoberfest, which we weren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, I drank a little too much.
Sure.
And my friends told me for whatever reason, I just took off running in the middle of the night and they couldn't find me. And they found me in a train station, passed out. And I guess you could say I was mugged, but basically I was rolled when I was passed out.
So somebody saw you passed out and took everything you had.
Yeah.
All right.
It was kind of normal over there. I mean, dumb tourists.
Right. You're dumb enough to pass out, and, you know, at Oktoberfest, you get what you get.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened was my buddy found me, and when I woke up, I had a backpack with me. My stuff was gone. And in my bag was my airline tickets, the Europe Rail pass.
Right. You got to speed it up, dude. You're killing us here. Get to the point where someone did something nice.
Worst of any I've heard in a long time.
Lost the bag, and then about 5-6 months later, I get an email from somebody I don't know from Germany and says, hey, I found your bag, and, you know,
really?
I want to mail to you.
And it had everything in it?
Had everything except for a little cheap MP3 player. That was the only thing missing.
No kidding.
How about that?
That's kind of amazing.
And it had all my souvenirs through, you know, all the different countries I went to. And,
The best part
of the story was...
No, there can't be another part.
The best part was...
Well, the best part was I really was upset I didn't get a T-shirt, you know, from Oktoberfest. But apparently when I was hammered, I bought a T-shirt, and the T-shirt was in the bag.
Yes.
So that was the icing on the cake.
That is the best part of the... Oh, wait, that's not the best part of the story. Thank you, Brian, for the call.
Every hour about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman steps in with the showbiz beat. Let me tell you about Ralph.
One of the bad boys of radio since 1968.
And still bringing it. Bringing it strong every hour.
Really? Where'd you get that from?
Jeez, glad to
one of the bad boys of radio since 1968.
Glad we're dropping some Cousin Brucey drops.
just for you.
Hey, you know I love the Paley Fest.
You do.
This is the event that is put on every year by the Paley Center, which is formerly the Museum of Television and Radio. What they do is they celebrate television. They give you an evening with the cast and creators of some of your favorite TV shows. An amazing lineup this year. Yesterday, we gave away tickets for Lost and for another show that wasn't Lost.
Modern Family.
Modern Family. Earlier today, we gave away tickets for the Community evening. March 4th, they're doing an evening with Dexter. And let me tell you something. Kevin has seen the Dexter panel. They did one a couple years ago, and it's great, right? It's great.
Yes.
I really need to kill somebody.
And I did the Comic-Con panel with these guys, and the producers and the cast, they just couldn't be nicer people, and they're really informative, and they love the fans. So if you're a Dexter fan, you're going to want to go to the evening with the cast and creators of Dexter, see what's coming up with Season 5. It's going to be awesome.
If you're not, buy all four seasons and become one.
Yeah,
because
that's
true. Because it's a great, great show.
I want to give away five pairs of tickets. How about that? Five
winners.
I really
need to kill somebody.
I do too, Dexter. Mm-hmm. Five winners will go. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. But here's the thing. You got to answer a trivia question because I want real Dexter fans to go to this. Everyone knows that Dexter's dad is named Harry Morgan. He was a cop, of course. Taught Dexter the code. Taught him how to kill within certain parameters to keep him out of trouble.
Yeah, you only kill bad people.
That's right. And Harry's always over his shoulder. He talks to him all the time on the show.
A little too much for my taste. I think I'm going to tell his dad to shut up.
What was Dexter's mom's name? His adopted mom's name? You don't hear about her very often, do you? Oh, do you?
No, I don't know that I ever have.
What's her name? Call now. 1-800-520-1067. Her name was not Sharktopus.
But if it was, wouldn't it be cool?
David King of Mexico tells me that there is right now on Facebook a Ralph Garman should have a role in the sci-fi movie Sharktopus page.
Yes.
And I want to thank whoever set that up. Apparently that's there's awesome. Like seven people have already signed up. So
all right.
I appreciate that.
We I'm talked to the VP, a guy high up in the sci-fi channel today, and I thought he was underwhelmed by your audition, which troubled me because I think you're onto something here. I think you would enhance that movie, and I thought you gave a great presentation, but you know, maybe that's how they do it in TV, is they stone-face you a little bit because they don't want you to think you're going to get too much money.
Right. He can't show his excitement. Obviously, I blew him away.
He's bursting at the seams to hire you, right?
Right. He can't wait.
You were too good.
They're having all kinds of meetings right now at Sci-Fi Central.
Sure, yeah.
But you're right, Bean. He has to try to keep a calm exterior so that I don't know I have them over a barrel and I start making outrageous demands.
Yeah.
Play like a cool. series okay. of Dr. Achilles Hardigan movies where each week, you know, Achilles faces off against a different creature.
But he gets killed by the Sharktopus, though.
In the audition tape. But once they realize the richness of the character, they will insist on
survive.
It being an ongoing series.
I mean, you know
he said it himself. Tom Vitale, the VP, said, oh, but then you don't get to be in the sequel because he heard me get eaten by the Sharktopus at the end.
Yeah.
So he's already has plans for further adventures of Dr. Achilles Hardigan.
He seemed underwhelmed is all I'm saying. He seemed underwhelmed.
And Dr. Hardigan could lose his legs to the Sharktopus and still live in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
for the rest
like
of
an atomic power wheelchair.
Yeah.
It goes like Mach 7. Awesome.
Like Iron Man, but with a wheelchair?
By the way, I just bought Mansquito on Amazon.com.
Oh, Mansquito was the best.
I think we might have to have a Ralph's Video Vault sometime in our future where I dissect Mansquito for everybody. Because that's good stuff.
I think you said adopted mother for your question, but they're telling me to specify that. Dexter's adoptive mother.
Harry's wife.
All right.
Harry's the couple wife. That adopted Dexter. That's right. What you're looking for.
Right. Harry Morgan,
name, right?
The
right.
cop who found Dexter
the kid,
in the cargo container full of blood.
Right.
Brought him home and he adopted him. He adopted Dexter.
Correct.
Who was Harry's mother? Harry's wife, who was the adoptive mother of Dexter.
Because the real mother was killed
that
day.
Was the informant. Right.
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm asking for, I guess, give me the name of Harry Morgan's wife.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Right. The woman who raised Dexter along with Harry Morgan.
I really need to kill somebody.
Boy, you people are picky. Picky, picky, picky. You know what I would do if I was First Lady Michelle Obama?
What?
I would demand that Glee come and perform at my house.
They do that?
That's what she's done. Apparently, the kids are huge Glee fans. And Michelle Obama, apparently, a big fan as well. So she called up the producers of Glee and said, I would like the Glee kids to come do a couple numbers at the White House Easter egg roll on Monday, April 5th. And they said, yes, First Lady, Madam President, Lady, wife, person.
Cool.
I would
so
do that.
So the Glee kids are going to come perform for Michelle Obama and the kids at the White House Easter egg roll.
How about that?
By the way, if the country's in double-digit unemployment and the economy's in the crapper, maybe the president can take this year off of hanging out at the Easter egg roll. Isn't there something else he can be doing with his time? I don't want to see him pardoning turkeys at Thanksgiving or pushing an egg with his nose on the White House lawn.
I would like to see that.
I would like to see him in the conference room something, working out a little answer or two for the country's problems.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe not so much good times, fun ceremonies for the president.
I've always thought the president on his hands and knees pushing that egg with his nose was a little undignified for the office, too, anyway.
I don't know if that needs to happen.
We have a winner if you'd like to talk to him.
Really? Are they sure? Would I ask the proper question?
Just passing along the information, man.
All right. Paula?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Are you a big Dexter fan?
Yes, I am. Both the series and the book.
Wow, you're hardcore. What was Harry Morgan's wife's name who raised Dexter?
Doris Morgan.
Doris Morgan is correct.
Yay!
Congratulations. You're going to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Dexter.
Yay.
You are underwhelmed.
No, I'm
She's at work.
Work, yes.
Yeah. You can tell the work voice.
Uh-huh.
Yay, good.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, Paula. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks to Catherine, Pam, Cassandra, and Anthony, by the way, who also are all big winners. A lot of chicks digging Dexter.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is interesting.
So, Mansquito, half man, half man, half insect. First they hunted for a cure, Ralph. Now they're hunting for a monster.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, Mansquito.
It's awesome.
Starring Corey Nemec, by the way. Formerly known as Parker Lewis. You remember him?
That's Parker Lewis!
I remember.
Yeah.
He can't lose.
Dear God, I want to kill you all.
I really need to kill somebody.
I know you feel. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dakota Fanning, 16 years old today. Emily Blunt celebrates her 27th birthday. Niecy Nash from Reno 911 currently can be seen on The Insider. She's 40 years old. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City is 45. Patricia Richardson celebrates her 59th birthday. And Peter Fonda, legendary actor and director, brought us Easy Rider back in the day. Of course, is the brother of Jane Fonda and the son of Henry Fonda. A long line of actors, those Fondas. Created the Fonda.
A lot of Fonda info.
The Fonda Tercel, of course.
Did you mention Bridget Fonda?
Yes, the father of Bridget Fonda.
Yeah.
Just 70 years old.
You're not going to top
that. Toyota, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was wrong.
Yeah.
What's a Honda car? Give me a Honda car.
Civic.
Of course, creator of the Fonda Civic.
There you go.
Thank you. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch the showbiz.
You are truly a pussy. Oh, we're on. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 24 minutes after 9 o'clock.
How dare you? That's what I have to say. How dare you? All right, Ralph has one more look at the showbiz beat coming up on the Kevin Bean Show. But first, though, Kevin Reeds.
Well, it's the citizen of the day, and there are a lot of them. We've had a lot of stories in the past, but I'm going to give you a choice of three.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's citizen of the day.
Here are the three headlines. Dope.
Now, these are your people, right? That's what you love about the citizens of the day. These are people that you look at and go, yes, I want to party with that guy.
Yeah, or they're really dumb. Yeah, or both.
Okay.
Okay.
Here are the headlines. Dope smoker reports psychedelic hash to police. Marriage annulled after man discovered bride was bearded and cross-eyed. And where'd you get that lotion? Those are the three stories that you can choose from.
Oh, good choices.
How are we?
Dope smoker reporting to police. Marriage annulled.
All right.
Where'd you get that lotion?
I think I want to go with where'd you get that lotion?
Me too.
I think I'm intrigued by that.
Here's the sub headline. Massachusetts man busted after stuffing 75 glass bottles of lotion in his pants.
Where was he? What was he trying to do?
He
was it shoplifting or going
shoplifting
to the airport?
Shoplifting at Bath and Body Works.
Wow.
Shamil Guadarrama must have very, very, very dry skin. 30 years old, busted Wednesday at an Eastfield mall in Springfield as he sought to flee with hot lotion.
How many bottles?
75.
Was this the only time he was ever going to be in a city that had a Bath and Body Works? Because don't you just steal what you need? Don't you go, well, this will hold
maybe
me for a couple of months.
Maybe his skin is really dry, though. That's what I'm saying.
You may not understand.
He fills up a tub with it and bathes in it or something?
He is not a moist guy, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Police noted that Guadarrama had, quote, a hard time running and was extremely bow-legged.
You think?
Interesting.
The items each contained 8 ounces of lotion. They weighed about a pound each, though, due to the glass bottles. So what he did so they wouldn't fall at the bottom of his pants is he tied a string around the bottom of his pants and filled them up.
But this is, you're talking about now, you said 70 bottles at a pound apiece. 70, most people can't carry.
75 bottles.
Most people can't carry 75 pounds, much less hide that under their clothes and still walk.
Just in his pants, not his shirt.
Oh my God.
Filled up his pants with 75 bottles of lotion, and then someone said, hey, what are you doing? And he tried to run.
How'd that go?
Very poorly. So they arrested him, and they charged him with larceny, which I guess is theft,
I guess.
But
that's,
and I don't know about
crazy
75 bottles in one trip in a pair of pants.
Yeah, spread. Either steal bigger bottles or come back more often and steal fewer bottles.
Right,
come back once a week.
Ways. Take 10.
Yeah,
75 in a trip. Maybe not the best plan.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans, citizen of the day.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I'm so glad Ralph is back in here because I'm dying to know. Has Sci-Fi called yet? You get any word?
I haven't got any word.
They're keeping it on the down low.
I have to wait to see if what my agent or manager says. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have an agent or a manager.
Well, that just saves a step.
And, that's right. It's 10% more for me. That's right. 10% more for me, man.
10% of what, though?
You don't of my salary for playing Dr. Achilles Hardigan in Sharktopus?
We talked to the vice president of programming earlier today from Sci-Fi. He seemed underwhelmed.
How dare you?
Well, I'm saying
he was fighting to remain in control of his faculties.
Wow, that's not how I read it.
Oh, absolutely. He was trying to play it cool, man.
I
look,
see.
Because if the minute they show you how desperately they need you, then it gives me the upper hand in negotiations.
I didn't realize
and my
that.
Agent or manager, when I get one, will have the upper hand when they talk to Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Kevin, we don't understand Hollywood.
All right.
We can't
pretend. Yeah. Listen, I'm sorry.
Look. You guys haven't worked since Rockstar.
All right,
okay?
I'm sorry.
That's the last movie you guys did. I don't want to hear about
Kevin
it.
And Bean's Rockstar, by the way. First of all, at least get the title right. All right, so here's what happened. So Ralph heard about Sharktopus last week and decided that this is the movie that not only that he needs, but that they need. They need him in this movie.
It's the perfect marriage.
It really is.
Of actor right. and role.
Ralph, for those of you that don't know, is a comic book geek of the First Order. By
yeah,
the way.
Not that it has anything to do with this.
Showed up at his wedding.
Not at all.
In the Nothing Batmobile.
But this isn't
by
a
the
comic
way.
Books.
All right, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, Sharktopus is a word I need to have on my resume someplace. That's all I care
just
about.
Just put it on.
You may have seen me in, I don't know, Sharktopus. I just want to be able to say that to people.
So earlier today, we got a vice president, an actual heavy-duty guy at the top of the food chain for the Sci-Fi Channel, and he said they've got a script already, but I guess it sounded to me like they haven't filmed it yet because the thing's not going to be on the air for a year, right? So there's still plenty of time to not only cast Ralph in the movie, but also incorporate some of his great ideas of the script in their film, too. And Ralph, I thought you prepared a very effective demo reel for him to see what it would be like if you were in Sharktopus.
Well, in order to audition, I had to sort of create something because I haven't seen a script yet.
Right.
And so I had to create my own role and my own scenario in order to be able to show them what I could do if I was given the opportunity in Sharktopus.
Okay.
So I came up with my own character, Dr. Achilles Hardigan, who, of course, is the captain and also head researcher on the marine research vessel, the Narwhal.
Sure. That's a very famous vessel.
And I'm out at sea using my sensor array trying to track down the Sharktopus, trying to stop him, because I've come up with an invention I think will stop this creature, because conventional weapons are useless against them, and I'm trying to convince that of the U.S. Navy, and they'll have none of it.
How does the outside world treat your ideas? They in, they out, nothing.
The outside world?
Yes.
Ignores me.
Oh.
They think I'm some sort of crackpot.
Oh.
But I'll have them know, not only is Dr. Achilles Hardigan a marine paleontologist, he's also a former Navy SEAL. What more do you need? Well, that's the perfect man for the job, I think.
All right. Let's hear what you presented to Sci-Fi Channel today and then see where it goes from here.
Here's a little snippet from my envisionment of how the Sharktopus film will play out.
Damn it, Admiral. How many more innocent people have to die before you let me take control of this operation? Because besides my doctorate in marine paleontology, I'm also a former Navy SEAL. And I'm your last, best hope for stopping this creature. Don't be a fool, Admiral. Your conventional weapons have no chance against Sharktopus. Our only hope is for me to get close to the creature and launch the cephalopod cellular disruptor I've invented. It's experimental, but it just might work. Admiral? Admiral! A damn fool.
Oh, no.
Clark, I'm going up on deck to check on the sensor array.
Me walking up on deck.
This is odd. The sensors are working perfectly. There doesn't seem to be any marine life for miles. It's as if they're all afraid of something. It's quiet. Almost too quiet. Sharktopus! Save your bullets, Anderson! There's only one thing that's going to stop this monster, and that's this device of mine. And I'm going to have to stick it right down this bastard's throat! Come on, you son of a bitch! Come and get me! Damn you, Sharktopus!
Wow. Dr. Achilles Hardigan sacrifices his own life to save the world from Sharktopus! Unless there's a sequel. And then he survives.
Was the king of Mexico playing Sharktopus with his patented wolf-like... That's what it sounded like. No.
But I believe maybe Omar could play the role of the
I would like to play the role of Anderson with the Glock, if you don't mind.
Save your bullets, Anderson.
I'd like to be firing off a couple of rounds.
I couldn't really afford any other actors for that scene, so that's why the Admiral really couldn't be heard, and Anderson didn't have any speaking part.
Oh, okay.
Well, look. Neither did Clark. As far as I'm concerned, it's their loss if they don't draft you for Sharktopus. But please keep us posted and let us know what happens next.
I'm just saying.
So are we.
That's all. I'm just saying. And if you'd like to support me, you can go to Facebook, where apparently someone has started up a Ralph Garman should get a role in Sharktopus fan page. So I would appreciate you signing up for that. Because I'm thinking, wow, if we get enough names, they'll put me in the movie, because that's how Hollywood works.
Is it?
That's right.
If you get enough names on a petition, how it works? They will put you in a movie.
All right.
Hey, Betty White wasn't likely near the top of the list to host SNL until the petition on Facebook got started. Now they're seriously considering. I mean, that's really how it works these days.
That is a great example.
Word. Is Daniel Craig married? Sorry, ladies. Looks to be true.
Really?
Yeah. The British actor was spotted wearing a wedding ring on his finger this week. The James Bond star has been dating his girlfriend, Satsuki Mitchell, for years, but has always refused to comment on his personal life. There was a rumor in 2008 that they were engaged because Satsuki was seen with a large diamond ring on her hand. And now, Craig was seen walking through Brentwood here in California with a gold band on his left hand on his ring finger. So people are speculating they finally tied the knot. He always said famously that he wouldn't have a showbiz wedding. It'd be a very private affair, and no one would probably know about it. So people are speculating that's what they did. If that's the case, congratulations, Daniel and Satsuki.
Hey, hey, hey.
I love your motorcycles, by the way. You do good work.
Oh, wow.
File.
I wonder what Sean Connery feels about Daniel Craig's marriage.
Already wrote it down.
I'm sure you did. We're nothing if not original. Jay Leno has announced who his first guests will be. You know, Jay returns as the host of The Tonight Show after the Olympics.
Guys, help me understand this, because it seems like history has been rewritten. He's moving back to 11:30 because he failed at 10, right?
Yes.
Not because Conan failed at 11:30.
He is literally the not ready for primetime player.
The 10 o'clock ratings were terrible.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't see that anywhere. It's all about, oh, poor Conan. He didn't succeed.
It's madness.
All right.
Yeah. His first guests will be Jamie Foxx, Olympic gold medal skier Lindsey Vonn, and singer Brad Paisley.
But they'll all be talking to Jay Leno, right?
They still will be talking to Jay Leno, yes. But Lindsey Vonn, luckily, is used to crashing downhill, so she'll be appropriate guest for the first Jay Leno show. First week guests are also Sarah Palin will be stopping by. The Jersey Shore cast.
Yes, I hope on the same show.
Chelsea Handler. Avril Lavigne. It just keeps getting better. How do they get this caliber of guest? It's remarkable, the names he pulls. I can't wait to see Jay talk to Snooki.
Yeah, that will be good.
How'd that go?
That's how it's going to go. Chris Pine does pretty well for himself. This fella, Chris Pine.
Seems like.
Yeah. He is the actor, of course, famously took over the role of Captain James T. Kirk.
Is he Bell?
Star
Trek male Bell.
Reboot. We don't have a male Bell.
We don't.
If anybody deserves
it. If we had one, he would get it.
He is a very handsome fella, and that fact is not lost on the ladies, apparently. You know, he was dating Olivia Munn for a while there, but apparently they have split up, and since then, he's been seen cuddling publicly with Piper Perabo.
Okay.
Wow. Nice. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Yeah. Piper Perabo.
What movie was she?
Coyote Ugly.
Coyote Ugly.
Coyote Ugly.
And Rocky and Bullwinkle. Let's not forget that. Also the star of that film.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Her career hasn't exactly exploded since Coyote Ugly. Maybe I can get a role in Sharktopus.
There you go.
Maybe she's Dr. Achilles Hardigan's love interest.
I like it.
She's a researcher named Fatima Jones.
What's happening to you?
You may have to do your own version of Sharktopus to combat theirs.
Look,
if they end up
not hiring me, I got a couple bucks in the bank. Know what I'm saying?
I think it's time.
And Omar's done a movie, so he can help you.
He can direct.
Oh, Mr. Cod's got to be in it.
Yeah, Sharktopus, I want you to double cross some guys for me. Sharktopus Heat, we'll call it. It'll be a disaster of mythic proportions.
Look up Cucamonga Heat on YouTube.
Yeah, you got to see Omar's previous
feature film work, Cucamonga Heat.
I think he earns it.
Look, I'm telling you, I could pull in a couple favors.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we could put together Sharktopus. Look, it happens all the time, competing projects.
It does.
You know?
Absolutely.
Just saying.
It's just like the Truman Capote movies. Remember when both of those were out in the same year?
Right?
Exact same
deal.
Nobody
right.
would back off from it, and they both made them.
And so. Both of them got Oscar chatter, which I think would happen if we released two Sharktopuses at the same time.
I wonder if Kevin Smith would direct for us.
I bet you he would.
He's coming in, maybe this week, so we have to ask him.
We get Smith on board. I get maybe Will Ferrell, a little cameo appearance from Will. Jimmy Kimmel, I'm sure, would stop by. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that'll all work.
Dave Koechner.
It'll all happen.
You probably get McHale, too.
McHale would probably stop by, do a little work.
I swear to God, your version is already better than the Sci-Fi Channel version.
How dare
Who needs
you?
Sci-Fi Channel? Screw them, I say, Ralph.
Look, I don't have the clout and the power and the budget that Sci-Fi has. But I just have to put my own spin on it, you know?
I hear you. Right.
Look, I'm not threatening. I'm just saying.
You're threatening.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
use it or lose it, Sci-Fi Channel. That's all I'm saying.
You're a gift that must not be wasted.
That's right. I've got things inside me that need to see the light of day.
Oh, man.
Oh.
That does not sound
talents,
good.
Talents, talents, oh. you pervs.
Oh, okay.
It's not a mist that comes from the wall?
No mists. Here's what's on CD and DVD today. It is Tuesday. That means this is what's available in stores. Jersey Shore, the first season uncensored, if you want to check that out. In case you missed any episodes of Jersey Shore.
They were just on a week ago?
Yeah. Nurse Jackie. Now, I'm serious about this. If
That's
you missed season one of Nurse Jackie, do yourself a favor. It's just about to start off again on Showtime. So pick this up and watch Nurse Jackie catch up, because it's a brilliant, brilliant show. Edie Falco from The Sopranos is the star, and she's spectacular.
Here's a clip from Nurse Jackie.
Okay. You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Don't believe that's the case.
Oh.
I think that might be from the Jersey Shore.
Oh.
The first season of Flash Forward, available on DVD. It's like six episodes.
Did they even
it?
Show all of them?
I don't think they did.
The first season's still going on.
Yeah.
I feel like I passed out and woke up, and the show was on the air.
So halfway... They're still showing more, right?
This is season one, part one. It's called the DVD box set of this.
So you can buy the first half of the season.
Yes,
what?
If you want to catch up, I'm saying.
That's weird.
The Informant with Matt Damon. And speaking of Joel McHale, he's in that film as well,
yeah,
along with Scott Bakula. Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths. If you're a comic book geek like me, that's available today. The Box with Cameron Diaz and James Marsden.
I rented The Box over the weekend.
I know you did.
Very different.
And Sorority Row on DVD, starring Brianna Evigan. I don't know who she is, but I guarantee you she's hot if she's in a movie called Sorority Row.
Sure.
Wasn't Audrina or somebody in that one too, Mike?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Dave
says
she's from Step Up 2.
There you go.
That chick.
That's why she's on the list, because Dave makes this list for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's
I
on the list.
I love Step Up,
because
too.
He loves her and probably loved this movie.
Sorority Row is unbelievable. You can't...
You mean good. You mean unbelievably good.
Yeah. I mean, you need to go stock up on lotion before that one.
Oh, all right.
Amazing.
Well, Kevin knows a guy.
Where'd you get that lotion? let's see. Johnny Cash has a new CD out today, surprisingly.
That's weird.
Wow. He's been dead for a while.
Odd.
He's got Tupac's agent. Maybe I can get Tupac's agent, since I'm without one. This Addiction by Alkaline Trio, also available today. You can pick that up. Today's celebrity birthdays: Dakota Fanning is 16. Emily Blunt is 27. Niecy Nash turns 40. Kristen Davis is 45. Patricia Richardson from Home Improvement is 59 years old. And actor and director Peter Fonda is 70 years old today. Maybe Peter Fonda would like to direct my version of Sharktopus.
I'm guessing not.
I'm just saying. Sharktopus on motorcycles. You can see it now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have baked senior citizens. We have...
Like food?
No, not in food.
Oh,
baked.
Okay.
Weed.
Look, I know
smoking pot.
You like to play Eat All the Old People.
The weed. I'm just saying. There's a lot more old people today than ever before.
Getting stoned?
Yes.
Cool.
So you love that. Also, tomorrow, Sean William Scott talking about Cop Out. Very excited to see that
movie.
Let's see. Why does a man bulldoze his own house tomorrow? Internet Roundup tomorrow. We're going to talk about a Raiders cruise. There's a cruise ship. With Raiders and
wow.
Raider fans on it.
That's Cruise, C-R-U-Z, right?
Nope.
Raiders Cruise?
You don't generally have to go through a metal detector to get on a cruise ship up until now, right?
This must be a ship they're planning to retire after this cruise.
Yes.
You're going to sink it
just
halfway.
Sails one way down to Mexico. And then
did somebody order Mexican?
Going to dry dock.
It'll be useless after this.
And Woody Harrelson. Maybe.
Wow.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Woody Harrelson not included.
just got word that Sean William Scott not included, too, by the way.
Work on that after the show.
Not included.
We are losing stuff by the second.
And I can't
do
make
more
it tomorrow either.
Tomorrow if you want. The beautiful Cat Corbin is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Why not stick around for Green Day? Also, Phoenix, STP, PJ, Harvey Danger, and more right after this on K-Rock.